Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Lily, give me the car keys.
Rob Zombie closing us out with Dragula. That tune got its name from the hot rod that Grandpa drove in the Munsters TV show. Rob is currently back in the director's seat for H2, the sequel to his remake of the great horror flick, Halloween. High Voltage, it's a presentation of Westwood One, written and reduced by Fred Lindgren, in studio production by Stephen the Earmark Cosio. Our executive producer holding the Mac Daddy Pimp Cup is the one and only Norm Pattis. All concert performances were recorded by Westwood One Mobile. Biff Daw's engineer, assisted by Doug Field, Phil Kneebone, and Jay Resnick. I would be Nick Carter, and until next time, peace out, biznatches.
101.1 WRIF in WRIF HD1 Detroit.
Now.
Welcome to the award-winning Night Call, the Riff's phone-in talk show on 101 WRIF Detroit. Our number, 313-298-WRIF. Now, here's the host of Night Call, Peter Werby.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome to the broadcast. Joining me, as usual, Jalene Jordan. Hi, Jalene.
Hello.
You know, there's always a lot of firsts on this broadcast, and we could be the first, maybe even radio show, let alone talk show, that has been skunked.
Oh, yeah. There was one frightened or angry skunk outside the building here, and it's penetrated the
studio.
And
it's all in here. Wow. I don't know if this is happening around the country, but, you know, in our neighborhood, we live, how many, about 5-6 blocks apart?
Yeah.
Like that. Well, last summer, the summer before was the worst, but last summer, too, there was just, I mean, my wife and I, we'd get woken up out of a sound sleep. You know, we'd have the windows open, summer, and we'd go, whoa!
From the smell.
Whoa!
But, you know, in the old days of radio, that skunk smell would have been a whole different thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I got
party down.
Yes, right. Okay, this is Night Call with Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. Our numbers are 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743.
And we have email for you if you'd like, if you're bashful, or if the phones are filled, which they are not right now because we haven't even talked about anything other than skunks, is calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. It being this, the program will be available for podcast by noon on Monday. Thank you, Jeremy. And let's see, we have a MySpace page. We have a Facebook page.
The Facebook one's really the only one that's happening.
Forget about MySpace?
Well, I think we might, I hate to say it, but the wave of the future is Facebook.
I mean, like, MySpace is so 2007?
It's more for musicians than anything.
Oh, that's right. Because
I have all my music up on my page up there, you know.
Well, never mind. I was going to start asking the difference between this and that, but I'm not going to do it.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Well, when's it all going to end? Of course, everyone's asking about the recession slash, no, I won't say the D word. But how about this? Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said on Sunday in a rare television interview, he said America's recession probably will end this year if the government if the government succeeds in bolstering the banking system.
Well, I mean, at least there's some positive words out there from a bigwig and, you know.
Well, here's another bigwig. The global economy will shrink this year as the world enters a global recession, says the head of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF. Speaking in a taped interview with French television, Channel France 24, Dominique Strauss-Kahn said economic data has worsened since January. You know, what is it? Now there's... I'm not going to give the big figure, but I thought I saw double this. But at least 50 million people have lost their jobs worldwide.
Wow.
Tens of millions have slipped back into poverty. So this is incredible.
Well, Osama bin Laden got exactly what he wanted, and he wanted the failure of our economy, and it happened, and it trickled around the world, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, when they talk about this ending, the recession, they're not talking about for ordinary people. It's going to take a long time for the ordinary people that have been hurt to come back. I mean, if you lost your home, if you lost your job, and, you know, of course, what happens is, partly it's economic necessity where companies begin to lay off people, but they're going to realize, well, you know what? We can get along with people working a lot harder and a lot faster and not hire all those people back.
Yeah, I mean, it just changes the face of everything.
And the idea with Bernanke and Obama himself and everyone in Congress, Republicans and Democrats, is they want to restore the system back to exactly how it was, which means there's another collapse built in the next time. Well, we're going to have more regulation, and we're going to have more oversight, and we're going to have laws that control all this. Well, maybe so, but as long as you still have this stock market, which is nothing more than this huge gambling casino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can just abolish it. I mean, that would be wiping out trillions of dollars of people's wealth. But to just go back to what it was. Well, everyone now, everyone is indignant. Everyone is outraged. In fact, the president's chief economic advisor has called the tens of millions of dollars in new bonuses that are being paid out by this American International Group, the AIG, outrageous.
Well, you know, the whole thing is part of this whole cutback situation are that the bonuses have been frozen at many, many companies across the country. This is the one that should be the first to freeze their bonuses.
Yeah, to not give them.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
Yeah, they've AIG so far has gotten $170 billion of your and my tax money. Rather than going for where it should and what would be the proper place to improve our country, improve our neighborhoods and our communities and our cities, instead it had to go on, according to the scheme of both Republicans and Democrats, to bail out of these failing economic institutions. Because the idea is if they were afraid, this AIG, which this is so complex what this does, I mean, insuring investments and mortgages and all this stuff, that if they would have gone down, they would have dragged every other financial institution with it, and it would have been a house of cards. And, of course, everything would have stopped. I mean, it literally, I don't know why I would stop saying this, and I see from Roger, who's answering our phones at 313-298-WRIF, he says, he's written to us here, MySpace has been dropping in numbers there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So the AIG chairman says the company entered into the bonus agreements in early 2008 before getting into severe financial trouble. And the unit, people by now, if you've seen this at all on the television, has the very unit that caused all these problems and made all these bad investments and guarantees mm-hmm. and what have you, they're the ones that are getting like tens of millions of dollars of bonuses.
Yeah, it's just twisted.
Yeah, it is twisted. And they say partly they're retention bonuses because if they didn't give these guys these millions, they would go somewhere else. Whoa, let the door hit you in the ass.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye, right.
I mean, and meanwhile, you know, I know people who have qualified for mortgages, but there's no... The bank has no money.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, come on.
And AIG still will not tell where all this money has gone. I mean, what are they? How can this be? Why don't they just go in there and drag them all out in handcuffs or something like that? Newspaper has reported that some of the banks paid by AIG since the insurers started getting taxpayer funds. Well, this is what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to do these payouts. Goldman Sachs, Deutsche Bank, AG, Merrill Lynch, Barclays, PIC or PIC, I don't know what this is, but banks all over the world. So this money has just gone right out of our pockets to the federal government, right out the door. Oh, that terrible Obama. Oh, no. This was done in October and November. This was done by the Bush administration.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Obama administration doesn't have another manner in which they could address this problem. I mean, even some of the Republicans, because they know how pissed off all of us are about what's happening. Ordinary people are hurting, and they're taking our tax dollars and give it to these rich concerns, rich people, rich institutions. But what else? See, they right now, if you accept the system as it is, they got us over a barrel. You know, they're going to say, okay, give us the money, or we're going out of business and taking everybody down with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I don't know. Here, but one of the things you begin to see, it is not just misfeasance, which means they're behaving badly, or they mistakenly. They made bad investments and what have you, which they obviously did. Although, it really, much of it rises to the level of malfeasance, which means they did
it on purpose.
And bad things.
right.
Here, this was an article on March 12th in the New York Times. Financial fraud is the focus of attacks by prosecutors. Now, this Bernie Madoff, you know, again, look at people's names.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, he made off with the money. Now it's up to $64 billion.
Is it really?
Yeah.
My gosh, how did he live with himself?
He says he feels badly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but his wife wants to retain, I forgot how many, you know, millions and millions of dollars still.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. But here, it's not just Bernie Madoff. This article says, spurred by rising public anger. Why didn't it have to be spurred by that? Why weren't these state and federal investigators doing their job? Are preparing for a surge of prosecutions of financial fraud. Across the country, attorneys general, that's the way you say it, not attorney generals, but attorneys general have already begun inflicting dozens of loan processors, mortgage brokers, and bank officers, which is good. Love to see these guys in handcuffs. Last week alone, there were guilty pleas in Minnesota, Delaware, North Carolina, and Connecticut, and sentences in Florida and Vermont, all stemming from home loan scams. And there's more than that. There's all, I mean, if you may be aware of things like Bernie Madoff. You may have even seen a few of these have increased. But if you're not, and I'm not saying this critically of anybody. Most people, I mean, Julian and I do this for work, so I mean, I'm always putting this together. When Julian and I had this nationally syndicated show, our little tag was the show that dares to connect the dots.
Yes, every week.
And so most people, every day.
Well, we did.
Yeah. Most people take this as sort of isolated news accounts.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes what we'd say, hey, look, this is on the same front page if you've got to connect these things up.
Right.
So if you read, and how many of you do this, read the New York Times business section where a lot of these prosecutions are reported. And so they've got these, a society dame, as Curly of the Three Stooges said one time. Handcuffed. I'm saying, this is sweet. But when the Obama administration focused on stabilizing the banks and restoring confidence in the stock market, it has said little about federal, civil, or criminal charges, but its proposed budget contains hints that will add to this weight of litigation, including money for more FBI agents to investigate a mortgage fraud and white-collar crime, and a 13% raise for the Securities and Exchange Commission. What do you mean a 13? Like money? They're giving the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the people that are supposed to be monitoring the stock market, more money?
It's all upside down.
Oh, man. Yeah. They ought to just, yeah. So you guys perform so poorly, we're cutting your salary by 50%. But
I think if people really paid attention and knew that, they would be outraged,
yeah.
Peter.
Well, people are. And the outrage, though, just doesn't coalesce. And so far, that's our problem. Like, for instance, I don't know why there is not a tomorrow morning a demonstration, AIG headquarters.
People, yeah, for sure.
That there's not a demonstration of 100,000 people in front of the AIG offices, a lot of them with pitchforks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really mean that. We talk about a pitchfork moment when at some point the peasants exit, that's us, exit their thatched roof houses and come down to the public square with torches and pitchforks. But the point, here's my point in this deal. There is so many prosecutions. There are so many prosecutions that what this does not show is so much, or it may, diligence on the part of federal prosecutors prosecuting for financial fraud, but how systemic, how widespread financial fraud is, that this is a racket. I used to say about the Bush administration, actually that's too nice, the Bush regime, sorry, the Bush regime, that it was a racket posing as a government. Well, it's entirely a racket. The financial system is entirely a racket.
Yeah.
Set up to fleece the vast majority of the American people. And sometimes some of us get by all right if you're in the middle class and above, you know, the what is it, depending on where you cut the middle class off, the upper 30%. What? You're trying to say that only 30% of the country is middle class and above?
Listen,
yeah.
My sister, my Republican sister, who has money, she's suffering. She had to get rid of her maid.
Oh,
I know.
Oh,
I know.
Baby.
I felt so bad for her.
You know, we joke about that, though. You know what that means? There's one unemployed domestic.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Could have been a single mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. 313-298-WRIF. Peter Werby and Jolene Jordan with you. Let's see. I bring up there. You got some more open lines, so maybe I will bring this up. Did you catch that thing about these Chinese ships were blocking this U.S. surveillance ship off the coast of China?
I did.
Yeah. So the U.S. Navy ship that got into a scrape with five Chinese vessels last weekend in the South China Sea was looking for threats such as submarines, presumably Chinese, in waters that China claims is its own.
Now, way to go stir up that hornet's nest.
What is wrong here? What is wrong with this picture? We're saying, you know, those darn Chinese, they're messing with our ship. What do you think would be the reaction if there were Chinese surveillance vessels inside the 200-mile limit off the West Coast and East Coast, which there may well be, but that were looking for U.S. subs off of our...
Wouldn't go so well.
Yeah. The Naval Intelligence Director, and this is Barack Obama's, and this is where we got to start asking, where is there continuity or is there a rupture with Bush policy and the aggressive, you know, imperial extension that, almost all presidents going back 150 years have thought that the United States has the right to do, to project force anywhere in the world at any time. I mean, we are the only country, well, to some extent, Britain, France, a couple other NATO allies are, you know, they're tagging along with us in places like Afghanistan. But Barack Obama's National Intelligence Director, Dennis Blair, told members of the Senate Armed Services Committee, the Chinese seem to be more militarily aggressive. I think the debate is still on in China, whether as their military power increases, they will be used for good or for pushing people around.
Well,
where do you use military for good purposes? They're always used for pushing people around.
Yeah, that's true.
Except if they're defensive, you say, well, wait a minute, what about the U.S.? Well, I mean, they're all over the globe. Bring them home. Hey, that's a song by Bruce Springsteen.
It is.
If you love your Uncle Sam, bring him home, bring him home.
Originally, wasn't that
Pete Seeger?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sang it on the Seeger sessions, not to Bob, but Pete Seeger, the still around 90-year-old dean of folk music. And so anyway, what the hell is the United States doing with all over there? Anyways, does anybody think that this is a good thing, that we ought to be projecting military power all around the world? U.S. protests harassment by Chinese vessels. They think, you know, why did you do this? This was a terrible thing. China and U.S. clash on naval fracas, says another one here. The confrontation between the United States naval vessel and five Chinese ships is, quote, the most serious military dispute between the countries since a mid-air collision in 2001 forced an American surveillance plane to land on Hainan Island. Yeah, that's right. We had a surveillance plane over their territory. I mean, this is a prescription for confrontation. And they ain't over here in our face, folks. We're over there in theirs. And why? They're not our enemy, right? Let me see. But why? I don't know. This story did not seem to get a lot of traction except on right-wing sites. And that was that that Russia said that it might set up bases for strategic bombers on the doorsteps of the United States in Cuba and Venezuela. I almost said it in a sued way.
I know.
I mean, that's what those people call their country, right? Cuba.
Cuba.
They don't say Cuba. They don't say, how do you say Venezuela?
Venezuela.
Yeah, I think it's more Venezuela.
Venezuela.
I think so, yeah. But there's, you know, our Spanish-speaking friends are saying you're both a couple of gringos. Right. Anyways, that they would do this, the Russians would do this to underpin long-distance patrols in the region. Well, wait a minute. They shouldn't be doing that, and they're not doing it. But let's see, who is it? This is possible in Cuba, said General Anatoly Zakharov, probably. Anyway, he's the chief of the Russian Air Force's strategic aviation staff, and he indicated that Russia was only looking for an occasional use of the facilities, not setting up permanent bases in the region. Well, the righties just went absolutely bonkers over. There was a lead on all of their sites, and I didn't even see it on the news.
Yeah.
But the point being, if we don't like these folks even having, like, stopovers when
like
they're
flying, we have all over
the world.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Hey, I mean, that is the deal. All right, 313-298-WRIF is our phone number. Should we, our Sarah Palin watch, do you have that one handy? I can't see.
Oh, you mean, did you see the one where she's selling the Girl Scout cookies? Or
who? Sarah?
Sarah Palin, yeah.
No, I missed that.
She sent Bristol, the newly single, the daughter, the young...
Yeah.
You know,
we just had Twig, or what is it?
I can't keep track.
Yeah.
She and her baby daddy broke up.
Yeah, they did.
Big breakup. And what was the part about the redneck part?
No, maybe we can. Bristol Palin and 19-year-old Levi Johnson recently broke off their engagement. The couple had a baby named Trip.
Trip.
Yeah.
But there is Twig. Like a Trig.
Trig it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Trig may be, there might be a guy who's in Iraq fighting.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Track.
Track. All right. Let's see. Palin family spokeswoman.
I know far too much about this family.
Yeah, Megan Stapleton said, Levi sees the baby whenever he wants. The family sees the baby whenever they want. Oh, yeah, I see it. They're disputing a report in the Star that said that Bristol makes it nearly impossible for her ex-fiancé to visit their infant son as much as he'd like. But they're denying that. Stapleton was referring to a Star magazine report this week that quoted Levi's sister, Mercedes, as saying that Levi tries to visit his son every day, but Bristol makes it nearly impossible. The sister was also quoted as saying the baby is not allowed at the family's Wasilla home because Bristol, quote, doesn't want him around white trash. These people, man. I mean, she could have. Some of you wanted her to be the vice president of the United States. I mean, I know people like this, and I've had people in my life that it's like a drama scene a day, right?
Yeah.
There's always something, and someone's always mad at somebody, and then they're all, someone's always getting in trouble. Remember, whatever happened to, I mean, I thought that was pretty terrible, calling the family white trash, even though the mom did live in a trailer and got busted for selling OxyContin.
Okay.
Which is okay. Nothing, and I don't, and listen, our trailer population, our RV population is growing by leaps and bounds. Man, I get so sad watching the news. People busted out of their homes, and they're now having these, literally these depression RV camps on city streets all over, and tent cities are beginning to pop up.
Really?
As well. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
But, And Sarah Palin is one of the people that they consider to be one of the leaders of the Republican Party.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Along with who? Michael Steele, who's going to do a hip-hop off-the-hook alteration of it. Those are his words.
Yeah.
Who else? Joe the Plumber.
And Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Bo, right.
They're in sad shape.
Did you see that film of him addressing a few weeks ago, or a couple weeks ago, the conservative?
I saw a little bit of it.
He was in this Johnny Cash black,
yeah,
which was pretty weird. And he was bouncing up and down. He was bouncing and bouncing and bouncing.
Well,
I didn't get that.
I don't get it either. He's a hyper.
Yeah. Then we mentioned last week, too, the other possibility of a Republican leader is this 14-year-old kid who addressed the conference. They are desperate, folks.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it today. Is we had to put up with 8 years of Bush and his bad decisions and everything that surrounds that. And now we have to put up with these whining Republicans. They're whining, whining, whining. I've already had it, and we're not even 100 days in.
Now, all right, we got some open lines for you, 313-298-WRIF. Here's our first caller, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan with you. It's Dan on the road. Dan, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing good.
I'm thinking about changing subjects on you.
Go ahead. Feel free. It's open line.
I'm wondering about Obama's food safety talk that he's talking about.
Yeah, what do you think?
I've been reading a few articles saying goodbye farmers market on the internet, that USDA agents are going to be at all farmers markets, and the food safety bills were written by Monsanto and Cargill.
Wow. I mean, that would be horrible. I don't know.
Yeah, I have someone who works for the government kind of in this field, and I think it does need some help.
Well, yeah.
Help.
I mean, what needs monitoring is Cargill and, Archer Daniel Midland and places and firms like that, not the local farmer, right?
Correct. And, you know, the only place you can really get heirloom vegetables, you know, organically grown, is at your local farmer's market. And I think the goal is, of these companies, is to get rid of farmer's markets.
Well, that's always true. The whole deal in capitalism is always towards monopolization, that the smaller sellers get driven out, and then bigger sellers, like, say, in the case of Walmart, who is beginning to sell. Am I correct? Aren't they beginning to sell organic produce? I believe. I think
wouldn't
Walmart.
Surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. So they want to have the entire market to themselves. They can buy in such quantity that they can drive the price down. So I, you know what though, Dan, I would like more information on that, because it's a process on one hand that would not surprise me when it has to do with corporations. It would surprise me if it was coming out of the Obama administration, but who knows, huh?
That's what I'm worried about, too. If it is an Obama policy to get rid of the farmers markets, that would concern me greatly.
Yeah, but, you know, these farmers markets have been just expanding and expanding and expanding. I mean, we get a tremendous amount ourselves, either in the Royal Oak farmers market, and I know there's one out in Farmington. There's another, of course, the big one down in the Eastern market. And I like getting stuff there a lot better. All right, well, thanks for alerting us to that. And, Jalene, when you get a chance, maybe you can even Google it. I don't know what, I don't know. Here's John in Livonia. Hi, John. It's Peter and Jalene. Thanks for joining us on WRIF.
I'd like to make a comment about the surveillance ship.
Sure.
You know, the news sources say they were in international waters.
Okay.
And I just think they should mind their own business.
Who?
the Chinese.
Well, the question, though, that I was posing, John, I mean, for one thing, there's always a dispute. It's within, the United States admits it's within the 200-mile economic zone that is granted to all countries under international law. The United States says we're not doing anything that has to do with economic activities. We're not fishing or anything like that. So it is international waters, as you're saying. What I'm saying is, what in the hell is the United States doing surveillance next to another country, and how would we feel if China was doing that to us?
Well, you know, there's no area in the globe that doesn't affect our national interests.
I don't agree with you in the slightest. I think that that our national interest would be to get the hell, just like Ron Paul and any number of other people, is that is get the hell out of 85% of the world. We'd have less trouble, and we'd have less trouble, and there'd be less trouble in the world.
Well, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Well, okay, John. Thank you. All right, that's one of those quick ones. Let's see. I wanted to get this call, but you call while we do our spots. We're going to just do these, and we'll be right back with you. 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743.
Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan with you.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this. On your radio, on your computer, and now on your brand new iPhone 3G. Your new Apple iPhone 3G connects you to 101 WRIF from anywhere in the world.
Damn, we're going to get you in a room.
Log on and listen worldwide at WRIF.com. The Riff. REI asks, just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Bring your family to the REI Member Rewards event. Join the co-op and receive an annual refund. Plus, new and existing members can save 20% on camping, hiking, backpacking, and climbing gear. Not a member? Then this is the perfect time to join. Come into an REI near you March 2nd through March 29th or shop REI.com. REI. Find out. Offer applies to one full price item. Exclusions apply.
Is your credit score holding you back? Are you paying more for everything just because you don't have perfect credit? Well, it's not your fault. Credit card companies are doing everything they can to keep you in debt and never let you escape. But I've got a system that can fix your credit score once and for all. And I'm going to send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system today.
My credit score is now 758. My wife and I are shouting for joy right now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't just fix your credit score, it will permanently rebuild your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.
Our credit score was in the low 600s and now we're at 780.
You can wipe the slate clean once and for all. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. For your free tape, call 1-800-337-1713. That's 1-800-337-1713. 1-800-337-1713.
Did you know the tap water in your home may be hazardous? Not to your health, but to your appliances and your wallet. Your home's hard water creates pipe clogging line scale, and that can shorten the life of your water heater, ruin your dishwasher, and break down your washing machine. Line scale deposits block the heating element, which costs you up to 25% more. That's an extra $1,200 a year in energy and wear. But you can remove line scale without chemicals, magnets, or salts. It's easy. With HydraCare, the patented device used worldwide. See for yourself at bestsoftwater.com. You simply clip HydraCare to your main water pipe. HydraCare removes and prevents lime scale buildup in your entire plumbing system. Guaranteed. If your home has hard water, extend the life of your appliances and save money with HydraCare. Just go to bestsoftwater.com. Lower your energy costs. Visit bestsoftwater.com. That's bestsoftwater.com.
Is your debt getting bigger? Are you falling behind on your bills and receiving collection calls? Well, it's not your fault. Millions of Americans are buried in credit card debt because of a job loss, divorce, medical bills, or just bad luck. But now there's a way you can get debt-free faster than you ever imagined. Call Credit Guard of America today for free information, and you'll learn how you can cut your monthly payments by up to half, lower or even eliminate your interest rates, and stop the collection calls once and for all. For free information, call 1-800-709-6136.
We owed $25,000 to the credit card companies. This year, we're going to be debt-free.
Credit Guard of America won't just help you get debt-free. We'll even show you how to improve your credit status.
They help me pay off 10 credit cards and rebuild my credit rating.
Call us today to learn how you can cut your monthly payments by up to half and get debt-free. For free information, call 1-800-709-6136. That's 1-800-709-6136.
If you have acne, here's a phone number you need to call. 1-800-335-4191. Right now, we're looking for the biggest skeptics out there to test out a skin-clearing breakthrough risk-free. If that's you, give us a call. We're going to prove you can make your acne disappear and have clear skin by sending you a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution absolutely risk-free with our compliments. And when you call now, we'll also send you our Green Tea Moisturizer, a feather-like serum that absorbs instantly to deliver deep hydration for free. Call 1-800-335-4191. Our combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin and skeptics into believers. You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put Proactive to the test, and we'll prove it. Get your free soothing green tea moisturizer with your risk-free 60-day trial by calling now. 1-800-335-4191. 1-800-335-4191.
You may have seen her on Oprah or The View. We're talking to Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center, about a powerful free tape she's giving away to help people discover a way to leave anxiety and depression behind for good. Lucinda, what are some of the symptoms of anxiety?
Worry, fear, depression, insecurity, low self-esteem. I suffered with anxiety and depression for over 20 years. When I was at my lowest point, I was curled up in a ball on my living room sofa, afraid to live and afraid to die.
Wow. So what's the biggest anxiety myth?
I think the most challenging thing about working with people with anxiety and depression is that many of them think they're victims of their emotions. They think they'll always be worrisome, fearful, and depressed.
But that's not true.
There's real drug-free help that has the potential to last a lifetime. Millions of people have called for this wonderful free tape.
Okay, to request your free tape, call 1-800-449-7603. 1-800-449-7603. 1-800-449-7603.
Now, Night Call is back on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's your host, Peter Worthy.
All right, thank you very much. Jalene Jordan is with me. By the way, if you're listening online through WRIF.com or, I don't know, wherever else people do, and a number of people have written, I don't think I've told you this, Jalene, and say the levels, particularly between Jalene and I, which are okay, but the callers...
No, I told you this.
No, this is a different thing. The callers are very low.
Right.
And we're... Well, there's something, this equalization process is not working on the stream. So if you're listening on the internet stream, unless they fixed it, and they're working on it...
Oh, they are.
Yeah. It's going to sound... We're going to sound a lot louder than the callers.
Sorry for now.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, particularly on technical things, I appreciate when people write in. You can make comments on the show or give your opinions at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. But if something isn't happening or isn't working right or it doesn't sound right, please give us a call, because sometimes people don't, and then you find out forever that...
it's been this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, or email.
Yeah. All right. Here's Joe in Detroit. Joe, it's Peter and Jalene. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how's it going, Peter?
Going terrific.
Well, the reason I'm calling is I wanted to announce to everyone about what's going on with the bridge, the Ambassador Bridge I'm talking about.
I was just looking at it. I had breakfast in Mexican Town. I was just looking at it.
Yep. They're talking about twin spanning it and saying they're going to shut the old span down and just use a new span. And they're saying that the Coast Guard has found that by building a new span along with the old span will cause no significant environmental impact.
Okay, the idea, anybody's been stuck on the bridge, I go to Windsor a lot, I'm going tomorrow, and that sounds like a good idea to me, but then you were kind enough to send me this this news release. Tell us what's going on with that in the meeting.
Well, There is a meeting on Tuesday with the Coast Guard about this issue. And if anyone is familiar with the Detroit International Bridge Company and its owner, Maddie Maroon, who owns the train station and various other businesses around Detroit, the bridge company, I'm going to focus on the bridge company, they've actually just taken over the Southwest. If you're trying to maneuver down there right now.
The Southwest side of Detroit, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is all torn up with they're supposed to be creating an approach to the bridge that's going to supposedly make everything easier. And when I heard there's going to be a twin span for the Ambassador Bridge like they have up at the Blue Water Bridge, I thought, great, that's good. Not good?
Well, there are multiple proposals out there, and I'm not really in favor, or not in favor of any of them. I'm kind of impartial on that. But if you look around Southwest Detroit, especially if you're around the Hubbard Richard area by St. Anne's there, you cannot access 4th Street anymore. They've kind of unofficially taken over different roads, West Grand Boulevard, 23rd Street, and taken over 4th Street as well, making it impossible for residents of the area to move around. And plus, it's one of the areas that has the highest asthma rates in the country.
Yeah, there's so much truck traffic. You're absolutely right, Joe. I was down there today, and every time we turned, there was these barricades that that had just gone down. Well, listen, tell us what people are doing and how this is all going to be approached.
Well, a bunch of community members, along with the current state representative, Rashida Tlaib, down in that district, have gotten together and formed a group called Bridge Watch Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Yahoo group and a Facebook group on this, and we're trying to mobilize people around the area to really speak out on this issue, because there's obviously an environmental impact, and if the other bridges that are talking about being proposed and might be built have to go through an environmental impact statement in the EIS, then the bridge company should have to, too.
So you would think.
It shouldn't be able to get away with an environmental assessment, which is the second level of assessment. It's not the highest level, which is an EIS done by the EPA.
Well, tell us about the meeting that's going to happen on Tuesday.
Well, there's a meeting happening on Tuesday with the Coast Guard at 6 p.m. at 1000 Scotton, which is at Earhart Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
And we need as many people to come out and voice their opinions and their disgust with the pollution and the need for a real assessment, because we don't believe that the Coast Guard did a fair assessment.
Yeah, and that's right by Clark Park, right?
Right, right. Yeah. It's right on the corner of the I-75 and Clark Park right
yeah.
there.
So talk about a place where there is pollution with all this truck traffic, the international truck traffic going into Canada, and there you have this middle school right there. Wow. Well, I would urge, and I appreciate you telling us about this, Tuesday, March 17th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Earhart Middle School. It even has a propeller. I always wondered about naming a school after someone who crashed a plane, but whatever. But, Joe, thank you for the information. Keep us informed. Is there a website?
There's a Facebook. If you just put in the Facebook Bridgewatch Detroit, or if you go to Google Groups, it's Yahoo Groups.
Yeah.
It's yahoogroups.com/Bridgewatch Detroit.
Joe, thank you very much. Very important. Yep. Fight City Hall. Do it, man. That's one of those things. You think, great, more spans, more bridges. But who knows what the hell that'll do. And the truck traffic down the southwest side is incredible.
Yeah, it
absolutely
sure is.
Incredible. All right, 313-298-WRIF, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. Here is Grant in Lake Orion. Grant, thanks for joining us on the air.
Is it Jalene?
Jalene. Hey,
yeah.
Great.
Wow, I got on the first try.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
I haven't been up this late in years, so tonight I'm out and I figured, hey, I wonder, and I turn on WREF and this is my old pal Pete, and now with somebody new, this is so cool.
Well, welcome back.
I seem new, but I'm really not that new.
In the scheme of night call, you are.
Yeah.
that was many years ago.
In the 40 years, I've only got 10 in.
Yeah.
Oh, 10? Really?
Well, I produced for Peter for a lot of years.
Okay. Hey, I was wondering, I've been following politics since the 70s. I can't remember any president ever being graded according to the Dow Jones Industrial. Have you?
There you go. Yeah. I mean, how does it do? Yeah, in other words, he's responsible for the vagaries of the system, of the stock market system, which has its own insane internal logic, and it's going to be interesting to see whether it has gone beyond human control or whether it's just run away and essentially operates by itself.
I sure hope that the whatever controls, whatever they can do to make it a little less, you've already said, so much for the people at the upper echelons. I'm supposed to trust people with, money for my IRA. You, unless you make it a full-time job, you can't learn enough to really manage your own finances. My parents grew up in a time when there were pensions. If you put in a hard day work and you made a career out of it, you were taken care of. Now, my retirement plan now is work until about 2 weeks before I die. I can afford that much.
Yeah, no kidding. I think you and a lot of other, me included.
You know, Grant, you actually reminded me of something I was going to say earlier and didn't. And that's, I hope people have learned over the last 8 years and 7 or 8 weeks, is that not to trust these elites. And, here we were put into this recession by Reaganomics carried out by Bushko. We were led into these wars that were unnecessary. They wouldn't have been necessary at all if Bush would have been on the ball and not allowed 9/11 to occur. And plus, everybody trusted all these financial guys. Think we can make fortunes on our houses. They're going to triple in price. We can invest in the stock market. I hope that the lessons learned about last about 3 weeks, but just some prudence in the next time you see somebody on television with flags in back of them and they're saying, we got to invade this or that, or this is now the expansion of wealth and anyone can do it. I mean, I just hope people learn a lesson from all of this. That may be the best thing that we can take out of it.
Instead of using feelings, I always thought that the biggest achievement that Reagan ever pulled off was making Joe Blue Collar actually believe that he was doing something for them.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, I got arguments with people all the time saying, just wait and see, and then the housing bubble. I was reading stuff about this several years ago, and my wife and I, we actually got a fixed rate mortgage, and we make our payments on it and stuff, and I understand that a lot of people really do need the help now, and then you see, like you guys announced earlier, they just throw the money at these places with no strings attached, and now $160 million in bonus payouts, and saying, if they do, if we don't pay them the money, they're going to go somewhere else. And like you said, let them.
They're not going to go somewhere else. They're going to go down the drain.
No, where else are they going to go in this economy?
No, they're not. I mean the executives. Yeah, right. Somebody's going to come along and say, I've just quit AIG because they won't give me a $10 million bonus. I'd like to work for your company. And they'd say, aren't you the guy that drove AIG into bankruptcy? Grant, welcome back. Thanks for having joined us.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Call again. 313-298-WRIF is our phone number. And let's see. Here's Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. It's Peter and Jalene. Welcome.
Hey, Pete. Hey, Jalene.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I think that both Bush and Cheney should be hanged in the public square.
Well, I don't support capital punishment.
Well, I really don't either, but...
Even with exception, even people that have committed such monstrous crimes.
How about just like a little pain?
Yeah.
Just
how about just pinch their butts?
How about locked in the jail together with each other for the rest of their lives?
There you go.
Can you imagine?
But, the thing is... I think the thing that angers me is that they're going to try to get these committees and tell you of all the dirt and things that both of them did, and yet that when it's all said and done, nothing is going to happen to them. Either they are going to get pardoned, by Obama or somebody else, or they'll find a fall guy to fall on the sword and say, they didn't know anything. I'm the one that did it.
Sure, they always find somebody. Like during during way back in the Reagan administration, during the Iran-Contra hearings, I mean, here was this egregious violation of U.S. statute law and of the American Constitution. And what was that soldier, North? What was it? Ollie. Yeah, I mean, this guy's this total fascist, right? He thinks that forget civilian rule, that the military ought to make the decisions, and in secret. And instead, he comes off looking good. He rams it to these weak-ass Democratic senators, and so winds up with a big career in television and books.
Well, looking like Nixon, you know, when he resigned,
yeah,
and Ford took office, the first thing he did was pardon him.
That's right. That's right.
When he should have been sitting in jail.
Yeah, where did he go? He went to San Clemente, and there I can't think of the guy. He had this did kind of the pre-rap stuff. I can't think of the guy's name suddenly, but he, one of his lines was San Quentin, not San Clemente. Right. All right, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing. This,
appreciate
this
it.
Reward system based on doing wrong with these guys.
There you
know?
Go. Hey, increased numbers of people think global warming is exaggerated. This.
How many? What is it?
Well,
increasing?
It's increasing. It's this right-wing drumbeat that's challenging the vast majority of climatologists.
Oh, yeah. And I'm on the Facebook, and so some of these people I went to high school with, they have turned out to be Republicans, right?
Yeah.
I know. And I see their comments on there, and it's all about this. And then they go in, and they're just repeating everything that they see on Fox News.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same old routine.
Well, there was a Gallup poll that says, although a majority of Americans believe the seriousness of global warming is either correctly portrayed in the news or underestimated, which I would say,
yep,
a record high 41% now say it is exaggerated. This represents the highest level of public skepticism about mainstream reporting on global warming. So, but it turns out to be, let's see, Republican doubters have grown from 59% to 66%, and independents from 33% to 44%, while the rate among Democrats remained close to 20%.
What's with the shift? I don't get it.
Well, what is up that this turns out to be a political issue? I mean, it is, eventually, because there was this skeptics conference in a Times Square hotel last week. 600 self-professed climate skeptics met to challenge what has become a broad scientific and political consensus that without big changes in energy choices, humans will dangerously heat up the planet. So the three-day International Conference on Climate Change, organized by something called the Heartland Institute, a nonprofit group seeking, here you go, folks, deregulation and unfettered markets. I mean,
it's all about money.
Yeah, and it's about deregulation. They want to deregulate things. Things were deregulated beginning with Reagan and ending with Bush, and we end up with, I mean, hopefully Bernanke is correct in that we're towards the end of this, where other people saying we're heading into a depression. Either way, so many people have gotten screwed because of deregulation and these unfettered markets. What they mean is the right of huge corporations to do whatever the hell they want. And this is who's putting this all together. Now, ExxonMobil used to finance the Heartland Institute that sponsored this.
Oh, $600,000
they gave these people.
My gosh.
Yeah, but they backed off because they realized, I mean, they're pretty savvy, these big companies.
Sure.
And they don't want to look like the obvious. They're selling oil that's polluting the planet.
They don't want to appear as they are.
They don't want to appear as they are. So that they've reduced support, and these companies no longer dispute that greenhouse gases produced by burning fossil fuels pose risks. But I think I've probably said 17 times on the show before. Let's say we don't know for sure. I mean, the vast majority of climatologists say that human activity, burning fossil fuels, has created global warming that could create, species die-offs.
Yeah, it already is.
Yeah, huge. They don't dispute necessarily that there's climate change. They just say that it's this
natural
cycle.
Right.
So I sure don't know. I mean, it seems to me to make sense. You burn a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it goes into
you're
the
polluting.
Yeah.
Things die. high carcinogens, toxins.
Yeah, you hit the key word. Let's say that the climatologists are the vast majority of them, the respected ones in this country, United Nations, all that. Let's say they're 100% wrong. And even a lot of these skeptics don't say they're 100% wrong. They're 100% wrong. But what they want is to get off of fossil fuels, is to have not better, but complete pollution controls on industrial pollution and automobiles and all sorts of transportation. So what if they're wrong? Well, we'll have a cleaner planet, and it won't be adding to what would be greenhouse gases. And what's the other way around? If they're wrong, if the skeptics are wrong, we're screwed.
Right. Well, yeah. And the other thing that these skeptics always say, they always throw out, I'm not going to be here. I don't care. It's just so...
Well, those are
typical
ones that do that, though, are not these guys. They're fairly sophisticated.
Right, right.
Yeah, they're not saying, who cares? After us, the deluge, right?
I know, but a lot of people still say that.
These must be people we work with.
You're right.
All right, right back to get your calls. never mind. I'll tell you why I said what I didn't.
Okay.
When we come back. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743.
And have you been checking email? We haven't.
I have.
Talkyes@yahoo.com.
Every Tuesday, get double shots of the best riff rock.
The way you need it.
See, I told you there was a rational explanation.
Super Tuesday on 101 WRIF. Everything that rocks.
Money, money, money. How's your money today compared to this time last year? I'll bet your IRA, 401k, and brokerage accounts are down big. 30, 40, even 50%. And some people think it's going to get worse. You can't retire yet, but you can find a broker to help you. The Secure Investors Group. They'll get you into fixed secure investments that are guaranteed to grow regardless of the economy. Right now, the Secure Investors Group is offering a free analysis and consultation on your current portfolio. Just call 248-335-6200. Don't wait for the market to come back. Be proactive and guarantee your portfolio growth in 2009. Secure Investors Group has strategies to stop the bleeding right away. Call 248-335-6200. If you're down 50% like many folks, your account needs to gain 100% to be even. Will that happen with your current asset management? Fix it now by calling Secure Investors Group, 248-335-6200. That's 248-335-6200.
You don't need the luck of the Irish to find the best St. Paddy's Day party at Pepper Bottoms on 9.5 and Harper. Forget your worries with bagpipers throughout the day, heaping plates of corned beef and cabbage at great prices, green beer, and awesome giveaways all day long. Doors open at 9 a.m. Party it up on Pepper Bottoms dance floor or kick back and watch on the 110-inch projection screen and 11 plasma screens. Home of the largest bar top in Macomb County. St. Patrick's Day rocks at Pepper Bottoms in St. Clair Shores at 9.5 and Harper.
Please stay tuned to the following public announcement. The government and private banks are liquidating houses now. These houses have been foreclosed, confiscated, or repossessed, and will be sold. Homes may be sold for very little money down. To learn how to receive a free list of foreclosures, call 800-354-8211. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N are allowed to start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Every house must be sold. The government and banks are very motivated to sell. Listings may not always remain available in all areas, so act now. I repeat, this is a public announcement. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N can start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Call CRN's national toll-free hotline to learn how to receive your free foreclosure list at 800-354-8211. That's 800-354-8211.
When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-493-8159. Now you have called qualified help in dealing with the IRS. This is the second chance you never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-493-8159. Call right now for your second chance. 1-800-493-8159. That's 1-800-493-8159.
Attention. Hydralyze is currently seeking participants with dark circles and puffy eyes. If you have dark circles or bags around your eyes due to heredity, fatigue, or aging, you are eligible to see results and participate in the Hydralyze trial. Hydralyze was introduced to improve delicate skin around the eyes and now has been shown to eliminate dark circles and bags. It effectively diminishes even dark circles caused by heredity. To participate in the Hydralyze trial and see results risk-free, call 1-800-505-7931. Fragile capillaries around the eye can leak, allowing blood to pool beneath the skin like an ugly bruise. But right now, you can join the thousands of people who have seen their dark circles fade away, watched as bags literally disappeared from view. Participate in the free trial by calling today. If you're serious about getting rid of dark circles or bags around the eyes, you are eligible to participate and experience results with Hydralyze. Call this number today, 1-800-505-7931. Once more, that's 1-800-505-7931.
If you want to own a new computer but think you can't get credit, listen to this. Now you're approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer for just $29.99 a week. There's no credit check, no hassles, and you won't be turned down. Just call Tronics Country at 1-800-990-2258. If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for 12 months, you're approved for a new computer guaranteed. Even if you have bad credit or no credit, you will not be turned down. And with Tronics Country's program, you can help improve your credit rating. Call Tronics Country now for a brand new name brand computer or wireless laptop. Call right now, and with your paid purchase, you'll also get a free 20-inch LCD TV and a free color printer. Call Tronics Country right now at 1-800-990-2258. 1-800-990-2258. That's 1-800-990-2258.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this.
101 WRIF in WRIF HD1 Detroit.
Peter and Jaleen. You're listening to Night Call, the Riff's award-winning talk show on 101 WRIF.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome back. 313-298-WRIF. You like that, don't you?
It just sounds so funny.
It is goofy. Right. That was the introduction to the MC5, a band I think a lot of you know.
Right. I think it's just funny all of a sudden, Peter and Jaleen.
Yeah, right. I like. Well, we used to do that. Remember on our national show, we had this thing, Buffalo Bob saying, "Hey, kids, what time is it?"
Gosh.
Yeah, remember that?
I do now. Yeah. It's been a long time.
It's fun to take that, sort of mess with those things. 313-298-WRIF. And let's see. Here's Dave. Dave's in Westland. Dave, thanks for joining us on the air.
Hey, Pete. Hey, Julian. How you guys doing?
Hey.
Doing good.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, I'm just I'm a recent listener, and I'm just telling you, you guys got a great show here on a Sunday night. You know, very interesting, and you don't find very much of that on a Sunday night this late, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just called to comment on that submarine issue from earlier, and Pete, I just totally agree with you. You know, if it was the other way around, you know, there would have been a big problem going on here, you know.
Sure. For all I know, there are Chinese subs off the U.S. coast, but I don't know why in the world they would do that. I mean, one of the aspects of empire, and empire costs us so much money, trillions over the last 50 years, is that the United States wants to be able to project military power anywhere in the world at any time without any restrictions. And no other country in the world has that kind of cachet.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it wastes our money because we have to spend trillions of dollars for this military infrastructure, and it guarantees that wars are going to occur. I mean, why wouldn't the United States, instead of sending surveillance boats off the Chinese coast, have continuing talks? How can we make sure that we never go to war? What issues are there? How can we assure that our countries will live in peace? Because certainly the Chinese, they probably think... well, they don't want to go to war with us. We owe them, what, like $1 trillion something like that.
Yeah, they haven't never came and got it, you know.
Yeah, well, if they ever do, it is curtains for us, I'll tell you.
We're like kind of like the big bully. We stick our nose in. We need to take our nose out of a lot of places, you know.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have half the amount of, you know, drama and confrontation that we do have.
You know, Dave, I think it's very common to use the pronoun we. But I would say that probably 99% of people, when they talk about the extension of the empire across the world, they say we. But it's really not we. It is the government and the military. It's the government. The military just goes where it's directed. So I'm not, you know, it's no aspersions on the military. It is government that decided that this is going to be the way the U.S. economy works. I mean, the caller a little while ago said we have to do it to protect our interests. Why do we have interests in Asia? Why do we have interests in Latin America and in the Middle East, for instance, that cost us, again, hundreds of billions of dollars? What we should have is trade, diplomatic relations, helping people that need help. I mean, that's not where our foreign aid goes. Most of it goes for military. But the idea, I mean, the military is to protect corporate interests. I mean, we're in Afghanistan and over in that part of the world for pipeline. We're in the Middle East for oil, obviously, for Latin America with that whole history of supporting the worst dictatorships in order to support our commercial interests down there. And none of that is working for us anymore. Doing bad things, and the American empire has mostly functioned in a negative way. In fact, all empires function in a bad way, period. That eventually it all comes down, you know, comes back to bites you in the butt, and that we see that over and over again, and we can start again. You know, we can realign the economy. We can function in a way that doesn't have all our wealth sapped by a military-industrial complex. And I think it can be done pretty easy. I think we can make peace in the world. And for those nut jobs that are still out there, criminals, I don't know what you can do. I mean, what can you do about, again, a man barged into a Miami birthday party Sunday, shot his estranged wife and three other people. Well, we've got laws against that, and yet still there's these nutballs out there. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Here's our next caller.
And I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd.
Hey, Todd from Southgate. Welcome back.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Todd.
I want to bring up the whole global warming thing you guys were talking about. How come you guys haven't reported on the findings from NASA that said the last 10 years this Earth has been in a cooling cycle?
You know what? Let's go back. There's all this dispute. I mean, in fact, the NASA guy, isn't there the NASA guy? Is he the big skeptic, or is he the guy that's warning that things are going to go down the drain? Here's why. I mean, I haven't seen that. Send that to me, Todd. Don't you think it would make sense to err on the side of getting rid of fossil fuels?
No, not at all. Because hold on. I know you laugh because I know I understand your guys' agenda, and that's fine. But what I think is it's a very economically viable energy source. All of it is. It's not hurting the environment like you guys seem to think. And another example of that is the Oregon petition project. There were 31,000 scientists that signed on to the petition that said global warming is not man-made. And then you got the other one. the Sierra Club or something like that, or, mm-hmm. or whatever, Greenpeace. No, sorry, Greenpeace. Greenpeace tried to refute that and get their own petition going. They could only get 2,000 scientists to say it was man-made.
Well, all of a sudden, you're telling me the majority of climatologists think the opposite of what we've been told, that the vast majority of them meeting in Congress, I don't mean, you know, together, in conferences all over the world, in individual statements, that suddenly they're the minority and the majority are the people that think that this is not human-caused?
Well, I think whoever's the ones trying to get the message out are getting the biased views of who they want to say what they want to say. You know what I'm saying? They're going out and getting the climatologists that are saying it is man-made, and then maybe on my side, we're going out and getting the ones that are saying it's not man-made. They can go either way.
Well, I think, for one thing, it's not quite, you know, in this New York Times article, I didn't want to read the whole thing, a lot of it is very nuanced. I mean, a number of people that think that there is this cycle that has to do with everything from, you know, the way the sun operates to any number of things. I mean, there's been long cooling periods and long warming periods in the history of the Earth and within, you know, the last few hundred years or 400 or 500 years. But what even they say is that that greenhouse gases in the continuation of the burning of fossil fuels will add to that process. And we're not talking about things going up 20 degrees. We're talking about an average of 1 or 2 degrees could send everything to hell. But let me ask you one more time, Todd. What would be the disadvantage of erring on the side of the people that say this is that global warming is caused by human activity?
Well, I think it will make things a lot more expensive, because what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to get energy sources that are a lot more expensive. You're not going to be using coal, which is very cheap, nuclear, which is very cheap and clean, by the way. But that's what happens. You can have an economy that will collapse because you want to go after, like, wind and solar. That's your guys' big thing on the show. You guys love wind and solar. It's not possible to power this country with wind and solar.
Well, you know, I've actually heard that argument before.
But what about, I'm not saying we have to completely go over to wind and solar. It would be nice to have some alternatives to kind of, you know, spread it around a little bit for a start.
First off, if there was major conservation, That would go so far. That which would mean is you wouldn't have buildings lit all night, huge spotlights illuminating them. You wouldn't. You would have some sensible mileage on the on your cars and what have you. But is there enough? I don't know. But one thing that you're missing is when you talk about the, you know, you've got all the talking points, is that the rise in price, there is so much hidden cost in what you're talking about. I mean, nuclear energy has cost the consumer hundreds of billions of dollars in costs that doesn't show up directly. In order to get our gasoline for $2 a gallon, which we're one of the few countries in the world that gets it that cheap, that's not a producer, we're talking about this whole military infrastructure necessary for these wars that are all about controlling oil and what have you. But I don't know.
You know what?
Todd, you are totally 20th century.
Todd, Ben, we got an email, and Ben says that you're basically, I hate to, he said it, you're lying about the NASA findings.
Go ahead. Well, does he say anything?
No, that's all he says.
Well, I can't.
I'll definitely send the link to that to Peter.
Okay, but Ben is going to call. So
all right.
Be listening.
Okay. All right, Todd, thank you very much.
I like talking to Todd a lot more about things like this rather than abortion.
Ben, call us.
I'm feeling that fire.
Yes, 313-298-WRIF. I have to say, I mean, I there's some people. I mean, the man, the talk show host that I admire most in the country is our pal, Tom Hartman.
Oh,
he
yeah.
starts talking. I'm astounded by how much this guy knows. I mean, I feel like a dope.
I think he probably feels that way about you.
No, if I say this to him, he'll say that back to me.
I mean, we're the ones he called to ask how do you get into this whole crazy business
right? But, I mean, he works 20 hours a day, sleeps 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
We're layabouts, to be sure. The point being is that he would have known about the NASA study. He would have known about the cost attendant to fossil fuels, he would have known exactly whether alternative energy could, And you know what I think? I'm basically lazy. I really.
I don't know what that makes me then.
I don't even want to say. I am basically lazy, and you're a step or two down from me. I have to agree.
No, I think it's important to relax.
Yes, that's what we say. But you do a wonderful job.
Thank you.
But here, the point being is, that's all I've quote continually the Leonard Skinner title tune. You know, I know a little, and I can guess the rest.
Yeah.
So I know a little that when you burn stuff, you know, you ever been in an enclosed circumstance with
an
oil heater or something like that? Yeah. Or in a city like L.A. or...
I went out to L.A. This is probably 15 years ago, and I had a headache the entire time I was there from the smog.
Yeah, and you can smell a lot of cities, Montreal, New York, so...
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Really?
That's where they... One of the big cereal companies there. Oh, it's the same way with Battle Creek. It smells.
Of?
Michigan.
No.
Oh, the cereal. I don't know what it is that they're, what the ingredient is, but it's not pretty.
Well, the point being, though, I don't think you have to, I'm too lazy to find out every single detail. And also, I have a lot of friends on the radio, all of you folks.
That's right.
So call 313-298-WRIF. If I ever get stumped, I am ready for you. Okay, let's get some more calls here. Here's Ben. Oh, here's Ben. Here's Ben in Elgin, Illinois.
Hey there, guys.
Hey, Ben.
Let me talk a little bit about, first of all, let's not use the word skeptic for these people who are denying the science of global warming.
You're going to use something worse, I can tell.
We tend to call them deniers or just plain cranks.
Okay.
You know, I'm part of a community of skeptics associated with the James Randi Educational Foundation, and we have a large web board there. And the actual point of fact is the true skeptics are the people who are skeptical of claims that overturn science that is generally accepted. And in fact, the science that is generally accepted is, first of all, that the climate is warming.
Mm-hmm.
We can absolutely demonstrate that without any doubt. And the way you demonstrate that is you look at the permafrost, and the permafrost is going away.
Well, I have to say that a number of these scientists that were at this conference were, and some of them stayed away because they didn't want to be associated, because there was a whole level of cranks and far right wingers and people that just think that, there should be no regulation or in the so-called free market. But there were a number of scientists there that said you had to, have an idea of what aspects of it were correct, what, the climatologists were finding. So I wouldn't say that they're all cranks, but a lot of it is generated from the right wing. That's pretty clear.
It's political. A recent poll, by the way, that survey, that petition he discussed, the 30,000 names, there was significant debunking of that. Basically, most of the names on there were not working scientists at all. Many of them were television meteorologists. Many of them were engineers. Many of them were just plain people with degrees in theology.
I hope not Sonny Elliott here in
I do not know, but I know John Coleman from formerly of Chicago, who owns Weather Channel, did sign that thing.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that if you look at a recent poll of working climatologists, 75 out of 77 believe not only is the Earth warming, but that man is causing it, and that it is going to be a significant problem for us.
Yeah, one thing, you wonder, I'd like to find out more. Here's the kind of stuff I was talking about that Tom Hartman would do. He does the heavy lifting. In this New York Times article, it says, in a keynote talk Sunday night, Richard S. Lindzen, a professor at MIT, well, what's he a professor of? That's what I'd like to know. And also S. Fred Singer, a physicist, often referred to by critics and supporters alike as the dean of climate contrarians. So, is this their specialty? Or?
Well, I'm a physicist, and I wouldn't dare make a statement so far out of my field as to say that I understand the climate. I've read the papers, I've read the abstracts, I understand what the scientists who are knowledgeable in the field are talking about, but, you know, if you're not going to talk about bosons and mesons and, gluons and how you build a particle detector, you don't want my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's what I did when I was working in science.
Okay, so you're saying that the fact that you're a physicist doesn't qualify you to do climate modeling and what have you?
No, not in the slightest. It qualifies me to read their papers and to pass judgment on whether I think they have made any glaring errors with respect to the physics or with respect to statistics. And honestly, all of the indicators I can see, every single one of them says that the Earth is warming. We know that CO2 is increasing, and we know that the source of that increased CO2 is fossil fuel. And the reason is the carbon that is part of the biosphere of the Earth is enriched in carbon-13, and that is because of cosmic radiation, which every so often will hit an atom in Earth's atmosphere and produce an isotope of carbon called carbon-13, which decays over time. Fossil fuels, because they were last alive, hundreds of millions of years ago, have lost all of their carbon-13. And so when you look at the ratio of carbon-12 to carbon-13 in the CO2 in the atmosphere, you find that ratio is steadily changing, and that the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere produced by the fossil fuels is growing over time, and that this change correlates very strongly with the increases we are seeing in the temperature of the planet.
Well, you know how much I can't begin to tell you, Ben, and I sincerely mean this, how much I appreciate that for a number of reasons. I mean, you said it so succinctly, it makes plenty sense, and I didn't have to do the work.
Always have.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate it. He must be listening. Oh, Ben, are you still there by any chance?
Yes, I am.
Hey, when you're listening, are the callers a lot lower than Jalene and I?
No, they were pretty close. It looks like they've got.
Yeah,
they've
fixed it. I got an email saying it's better.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in from Elgin, Illinois. Here is Rob in Windsor. Rob, thanks for making our show international. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
We're good.
Great show. I just wanted to talk about the bridge.
Yeah, the idea that they're going to put up a second span. What do you think?
Well, did you hear about the other span that they're building?
No, tell me.
They've approved it on all levels of government, but it's about a mile west of the Ambassador Bridge.
West, okay. Downriver.
Yeah. Just downriver, and it's going to be a dedicated truck road.
Oh, yeah.
I did see something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Matty Maroon is like, he built like these on-ramps to get to the bridge that he hasn't built yet, right?
Yeah, this is, by the way, if you're just tuning in, folks, the owner of the Ambassador Bridge, the international bridge that connects Detroit and Windsor, and it's either one of or the heaviest traveled commercial entrance to the United States.
Busiest border crossing in the world.
Okay. Oh, is it?
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And one guy, a guy named, what's his first name?
Matty Maroon.
Matty.
Yeah.
A guy named Matty owns the bridge. That's interesting. That's a little privatization going on, right?
Absolutely. And I think that if any border crossing is built, it should be government regulated.
Sure.
Because it'll keep the prices down for crossing.
Man, I can't believe what it costs now. What is it, like $4
each way?
Yeah, it was
like $4.75 for me to cross back in last time I went.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the dollar, the Canadian dollar, is down again, right?
It's back down to about 25, yeah. 25 cents less than the U.S. But Matty Maroon doesn't have approval on the Canadian side. Or the American side, yeah. He just got that Coast Guard environmental assessment clearance or whatever.
Right, which these people, including a state representative here in Michigan, is claiming is bogus. I'm not sure the details, but there's a meeting on Tuesday to talk to the Coast Guard.
Yeah, well, I know he lobbied the Bush regime pretty hard all during his presidency. to get a new crossing built, but he never got it while Bush was around. But anyways, like, he's just building these on-ramps, and he's not, like, he hasn't been approved to build a bridge yet, so, like, he might not get it. So he's, like, threatening to take it to court and everything like that. But they've already got this new crossing already approved.
Well, I mean, to some extent. I mean, that's the whole problem. I mean, here we had earlier, Joe from Detroit was telling us about how polluted the whole area around the bridge is, and they have thousands of trucks. Well, right now, that's how we're moving stuff, and we're moving it with fossil fuels, and people are sucking all that. And the idea that it's going to be at the Earhart Middle School, where this meeting is going to be at 6 o'clock on Tuesday, right near Clark Park, that's a middle school. And there's thousands of trucks going by there every day, and there's all this, you know, high level of asthma in kids. So, yeah, what do we want? Commerce or health? I mean, that's always the blackmail that we're faced with. All right, Rob, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. He's gone, I guess. Okay. What did that remind me of, though? I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't either, yeah. I've got a head full of ideas.
Disconnect.
Driving me insane. Yeah. Here is Kathy in Detroit. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for calling 313-298-WRIF. You're on the air with Peter and Jolene.
Thank you for taking my call. You've touched on so many subjects. To go back to the environmental thing, I'm reminded of when I was in Girl Scouts, you always left a place better or equal to what it was when you arrived there, when you camped or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go to a friend's house and leave a pile of garbage in their backyard?
Right.
Regardless of whether global warming is a natural thing or man-caused, you just don't leave garbage. And some little things to empower people, don't go for the plastic bags in the grocery store. Get those recyclable bags. Little things that we can do to empower us to don't go for the big packaging. Don't be wasteful. This will eliminate the need for oil. You know, people come in, oh, I want double bags. Please go over to the recyclable bags. Instead of watching American Idol, email your congressmen, your senators about your opinion on things. There are certain things we cannot eliminate right now, but if we would simplify our lives and not leave the TV blaring, things like that. And the reason people don't trust the environmental statements is maybe because we're starting to not trust government, scientists, because we're told so much that is crap. They don't. People don't know what to believe anymore, so they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, people don't know where to go. I mean, it used to be there was always centralized authority, and those folks lied to us so many times over so many generations.
Exactly.
And now you have the Internet, which is just this, is unverifiable. So people believe anything under the sun because they see this all written on a website, and no matter what subject.
I encourage people to critical thinking, above and beyond common sense, critical thinking. Think, why are they saying that? What do they stand to gain? The Ogallala water supply in America is the biggest water supply in our country, and it is being depleted at 8 times faster than it is being replenished.
Out in the southwest, yeah.
Mid-America, southwest is the most drastic area that is being depleted. And you go into schools and you see them throwing out food and the massive garbage. Just think what you can do, and yeah, I know it's not changing the massive political, governmental structures, but imagine if suddenly oil needs dropped because people were using glass, which is recyclable, and not getting water in bottles and using glass for storage. And in fact, these plastic things are killing us. We heat things in microwave plastic dishes. It is polluting our bodies, so we're killing ourselves out of convenience.
Well,
that is one thing that I'm with you on that one. I never heat anything in the microwave with in plastic. You don't even have a microwave.
We don't have a microwave, yeah.
And even better.
In fact, my wife asked me, she said, do you ever wish we had a microwave? And I said, actually, we had one when we moved in.
Yeah.
And a friend of ours, it was a carpenter. He built all these shelves where it was. It was built up on the wall of our stove.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is, you know, like the dread, what's his name? Darth Vader, Dick Cheney, said that, you know, these things are just gestures. Well, they can be gestures, but they can begin to take on some social weight.
I have a gesture for him.
if enough people do it. But ultimately, we've got to really limit plastics in the society. I mean, these things, you know, that we have in our hands for about 2.5 minutes from the time it comes, you know, styrofoam cup to our hands, we drink it in 5 minutes and gone. I mean, that's going to be around for 1,000 years or more before it deteriorates. All right, Kathy, thanks. I agree with everything you're saying. Thank you so much for joining us. All right, we got to take a break, but that reminded me, talking about television, my guest, and I don't know, I still haven't decided whether to play this at 1 or 1:30, but the interviews I did earlier in the week, one is with Jerry Mander, who is the author of Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television.
Oh, yeah. Remember, I had your copy of that for, like, I don't know.
Did you give it back finally?
Yeah.
Thank you. But he wrote that in 1977.
Yeah.
And I think one of the first questions I ask him in the interview is, you wrote it like a generation ago, 32 years ago. Do you think your arguments, four arguments for the elimination of television, hold true today? And he said, more so. And I said, well, I think so. I said, when I interviewed you probably in the 80s or something like that, I didn't have a television. Now I have a 32-inch flat screen.
You fessed up. I think you should play that one at 1 o'clock.
Okay, we'll do that. But he's written, he's co-authored a book called The Super Fairy Chronicles, Hawaii's Uprising Against Militarism, Commercialism, and the Desecration of the Earth. And it's about this huge super fairy that they were going to run between between Honolulu and...
Okay, F-E-R-R-Y, thank you.
Yes, right. You thought that was like, take a walk on the wild side. Yes. I can't believe she's letting this go. But,
I didn't.
You didn't, yeah. And so anyway, they were going to run this enormous ferry. It's like 300 yards or 300 feet. 300 yards, I think. This enormous ferry takes 12,000 gallons of gasoline to get from Honolulu to Kauai, this little island. So they turned out, this huge proportion of the island and surfers and people like that jumped in the water and blocked the ferry from, I'm giving away the interview. So they did fight City Hall. And so you would think it was just this gigantic commercial project, but it had a deeper and darker side to it that that Mander ferried out. Speaking of fairies. Yeah. And let's see, Matthew Stein, for those of you who may think that everything is going to just go to hell, Matthew Stein has written When Technology Fails, a Manual for Self-Reliance, Sustainability, and Surviving the Long, Long Emergency. And so you'll know what bugs to eat.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you should do that one at 1 o'clock.
Well, you know what I'm always saying? I've said that, I don't know if I've ever said this here, but I always say if things really go down, that my wife and me and our dog, we're all going to be sitting there in a room waiting to see who goes to sleep first.
That's gross, Peter. I can't believe you. Oh,
hey, you know, necessity demands, I don't know.
Well, I have more animals than you.
Yeah, you do. Well, you could
eat jump, for weeks.
Yeah. Well, I remember I heard a long time ago on NPR, they had this thing about a dog restaurant in where they eat them in Korea.
Yeah.
And the guy with the owner said, we eat pet dog, we eat food dog.
Oh, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got a pet dog, you got food dogs.
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. What's that? You know, I don't want to get too, we kind of chewing the bone on this one. But when we come back, I want just sort of a new poll out about how religious we are. More on that when we come back. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, 313-298-WRIF.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this.
The future is this year.
We do not need to be afraid anymore.
From your iPhone 3G, download the free WRIF app in the iTunes Store. It gives you one-touch access to WRIF streaming live wherever you are. Get more details at WRIF.com.
Is your credit card debt out of control and you don't know what to do? I'm Ted Brower, founder of Debt Settlement USA. Contrary to what you may hear from other advertisers, there's no secret program that can magically eliminate your debt. But Debt Settlement USA does have an answer. We have perhaps the most experienced team in the industry. We've negotiated and settled over $150 million of debt for people just like you. If you have over $12,000 of credit card debt, call right now for a free consultation. Debt Settlement USA built its reputation on one simple fact. We help our clients cut their debt. Find out how we can help you reduce your balances and your monthly payments.
Call Debt Settlement USA at 1-866-560-8877. If you're having trouble with credit card debt, call right now. Call 1-866-560-8877. That's 1-866-560-8877. Did you know the tap water in your home may be hazardous? Not to your health, but to your appliances and your wallet. Your home's hard water creates pipe clogging line scale, and that can shorten the life of your water heater, ruin your dishwasher, and break down your washing machine. Line scale deposits block the heating element, which costs you up to 25% more. That's an extra $1,200 a year in energy and wear. But you can remove line scale without chemicals, magnets, or salts. It's easy. With HydraCare, the patented device used worldwide. See for yourself at bestsoftwater.com. You simply clip HydraCare to your main water pipe. HydraCare removes and prevents lime scale buildup in your entire plumbing system. Guaranteed. If your home has hard water, extend the life of your appliances and save money with HydraCare. Just go to bestsoftwater.com. Lower your energy costs. Visit bestsoftwater.com. That's bestsoftwater.com.
If you have acne, here's a phone number you need to call. 1-800-335-4191. Right now, we're looking for the biggest skeptics out there to test out a skin-clearing breakthrough risk-free. If that's you, give us a call. We're going to prove you can make your acne disappear and have clear skin by sending you a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution absolutely risk-free with our compliments. And when you call now, we'll also send you our Green Tea Moisturizer, a featherlight serum that absorbs instantly to deliver deep hydration for free. Call 1-800-335-4191. Our combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin and skeptics into believers. You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put Proactive to the test and we'll prove it. Get your free soothing green tea moisturizer with your risk-free 60-day trial by calling now. 1-800-335-4191. 1-800-335-4191.
You may have seen her on Oprah or The View. We're talking to Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center, about a powerful free tape she's giving away to help people discover a way to leave anxiety and depression behind for good. Lucinda, what are some of the symptoms of anxiety?
Worry, fear, depression, insecurity, low self-esteem. I suffered with anxiety and depression for over 20 years. When I was at my lowest point, I was curled up in a ball on my living room sofa, afraid to live and afraid to die.
Wow. So what's the biggest anxiety myth?
I think the most challenging thing about working with people with anxiety and depression is that many of them think they're victims of their emotions. They think they'll always be worrisome, fearful, and depressed.
But that's not true.
There's real drug-free help that has the potential to last a lifetime. Millions of people have called for this wonderful free tape.
Okay. To request your free tape, call 1-800-449-7603. 1-800-449-7603. 1-800-449-7603.
Well, unceremoniously, we come back. Peter Werby, Lynn Jordan. This is Night Call, and I'm trying to see what happened. Anyway, we're here with you until 1 o'clock. The interviews will air at that time that I did earlier. And get your mic on, Julie.
There we are.
There you go. Right. You have a button over there.
Oh, I can just turn it on here. But you would have to turn it up.
I was up.
Okay.
Okay. More religions say... More Americans say they have no religion. A wide-ranging study on American religious life found that the Roman Catholic population has been shifting out of the Northeast to the Southwest. The percentage of Christians in the nation has declined, and more people say they have no religion at all.
I did see that. Yeah. It doesn't seem that way, does it? I don't know.
Seems like that to me.
Seems that there's fewer.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, all of my friends who aren't religious never were and aren't.
Right.
But
I don't know. The tough times, people find religion in tough times.
You know, I saw that. I'm sorry. I didn't see that. That's common wisdom. And yet, during the 1930s, there was not a big up.
Really?
There was not a big
surge?
Uptick. Yeah, not a big surge. You know, I was thinking about. And I was thinking, you know, as I've said before, if I judge religion empirically in my daily life, I would see all these wonderful faith-based people that I know that fight for peace and social justice,
right,
and that are kind of the bulwark of this in Detroit. And they, one of the things that they have that is really admirable is, I mean, I can't share their belief because I don't have a fundamental belief in what their deal is about.
Yeah.
But they have a community.
Yes.
And even ones, you know, for they're completely non-political, or if they're these far right-wing ones or these mega churches, what draws so many people into it is this large community of people.
It's true.
That share values, that...
Like my mom, this giant church that they go to, she calls it the church of what's happening now. It's really a social gathering.
Well, but still, attendance in churches, I mean, it's non-existent in Europe almost, you know.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Vatican, let's see, a cardinal, what's his name? I can't find it. But in any event, he said, they're all down with Darwin, by the way. They believe in evolution, the Catholics do, and all that. Cardinal William Levada, he says that... He rejected as absurd the atheist notion of biologist and author Richard Dawkins. I forgot even now the name of his book, The God Delusion.
Oh,
Richard
okay.
Dawkins, yeah. And others that evolution, that Dawkins says, and others that evolution proves there is no God. We think that's absurd and not at all proven. So he says that atheist theories are absurd. Atheists have no theories.
Get it, right.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I forgot. Let's see. Lee wrote me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com urging me to debate this Bible thumper on this religious station.
Well, I thought the guy wants to. He's yeah. offered it up.
Yeah. And
are you going to do it?
Well, here's what I wrote back to Lee. I thought from time to time about taking up this guy's offer to debate, but why bother? It would only give him prominence. It might be entertaining, but preparing for such events is a lot of work and would mostly benefit him. In other words, he'd get the exposure on a station like this and all that.
Right. Forget it.
Yeah. It's not like I'm going to convince his listeners of my atheism. Also, religion is nosediving on his own, and I have a...
You're never going to convince his listeners.
And although
a great
number of Americans still profess belief and adherence to a creed, it's a minority that do anything more than give it lip service. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that don't, like I say, in my life, are those that take those messages of Christianity and Judaism and Islam and some Buddhist and a few, what are those people? Some other folks. I don't know. And try to make the best messages there real. So,
yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's take some more calls. Here is Wendy in Port Huron. Sounds like you got a problem, Wendy. You're on the air.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do have a problem. I thought you meant with the connection.
No.
Okay, yes, I have. I've been battling this since, 2005 maybe. I'm on Social Security disability right now, but it took me almost 4 years to get it.
Oh, yeah, I hear that story over and over again.
Yeah, and when I was trying to get it, I was living on a prayer. I was able to live in the estate, the home of my deceased father, so I didn't have to worry about, I'm single, a roof over my head. But other than that, I didn't have any money coming in.
Mm.
Well, in 2004, SEMCO Energy and the Department of Human Services both strongly urged me to file for a home heating credit. I'd vaguely heard of them, but I had never had experience with them, so I didn't say suggested, and I got the home heating credit. I think it was $695. Now, when I filed for one in 2005, they told me that my expenses exceeded my income. Well, of course they did, because I didn't have any income.
Right.
Well, I said I didn't have this problem last year, and they said, well, it must have been something they missed. So I had to go through endless amounts of paperwork. I had to send them stuff over and over and over. They paid that. Well, then all of a sudden they came back on me about the 2004 home heating credit. And they're trying to, I'm still fighting on this. They're saying my living expenses again exceeded my income.
Yeah.
Of course. Well, now they're still going after me on this. I've sent them.
What do you mean after? They want money back?
Yeah, they want interest.
Oh,
and
no.
I've sent them endless stuff. I've sent them letters from people. The latest letter I got was a few weeks ago, and I suffer from frequent chronic migraine headaches. I've been in the hospital with a bleeding ulcer, so I thought, I'm just going to let this sit here for a while because I don't, you know, until I'm ready to deal with it. I have talked to government officials. I've talked to the governor. I've talked to our state representative.
I was going to suggest getting a hold of some of these politicians.
Yeah, I've talked to Greenholm's office. I've talked to Candace Miller's office. I've talked to John Espinosa's office. They've helped me in previous times. And I even had the president, the local president of SEMCO Energy, helping me here.
And to no avail? The bureaucrats
are... Yeah, they're still fighting this. I've had friends and family send in letters. I've had charitable organizations, these different places, and they're still... I've sent them in, and they're asking for the same information again and again.
So how... wait a minute, Wendy. If you don't have any income, how are they going to get anything out of you?
Well, no, I do now because I'm now on Social Security disability.
Well, I heard that, but, I mean, they can take your Social Security disability from you?
Pardon me?
They can take that from you? I guess they can. If it's government funds and you owe them money, I guess they can divert part of it. Man, I don't know. Who's your congressional representative up there in Port Huron?
It would be John Espinosa. Espinosa.
He's the state, isn't he? He's not the guy in
the
Washington.
The legislature.
He's not the guy in Washington.
Gosh.
No. I would find out who that is, which probably ought to be pretty easy to do, just if you look in like the yellow pages and, you know, that they'll have a list of government officials. Because, you know, it's just a matter of, it's just rolling around some overworked bureaucrat's desk, and, you got to move it beyond that. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. You got enough problems on your hand. You got, you know, ulcers in part are from stress, and then, you know, that's happening.
Well, don't give up and, you know, keep trying.
Yeah, let us know what happens. Thank you, Wendy. Appreciate it. All righty. Let's see. Here's Greg in Rochester. Hi, Greg. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Peter?
Going good.
Great show. First-time listener.
Welcome.
Very good, very open-minded about the whole political issues that are going on across seas and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I go to movies and everything. I see these things about, you know, the Army, work for the government and everything. Because believe me, right now, it's hard to find work out there. I feel that last caller's pain.
Did you see Kid Rock? Did you see Kid Rock?
Oh, God, yeah, I saw Kid Rock, and I saw all those, you know, these troops, like, they come up against these Iraqi kids, and he grabs the ball, and he throws it back to them. You know what I want to see? I want to see the troops going over there and, you know, promoting agriculture to these people, promoting things that need to be down there, and get those countries on the ball. The political system right now, with the government the way it is, that's not going to happen.
Well, I know, and unfortunately, as things wind down in Iraq, if they are winding down, I mean, I still see every week one or two Americans are killed. I mean, I don't even know who are they still fighting. I don't even know that, but it's starting to ramp up in Afghanistan. So four American soldiers were killed today, and the history there, Greg, of British involvement in Afghanistan, Russian involvement in Afghanistan in the 1960s. century, the experience of the Soviet Union. Soviet Union had 500,000 troops there and couldn't contain the Mujahideen.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's just a death trap for the West. And, agriculture is a lot better way to go. Greg, I got to thanks for finding us. I got to blast through some of these calls because we're almost out of time. But thank you for joining us. Here is here's John in Sterling Heights. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I wanted to talk about Obama, but we'll give him a chance yet. He's only been in there 50 days.
Right.
Let's just talk about that. You're talking about the Ambassador Bridge and all of the trucks and the kids with the asthma. And I agree with you, the kids do get asthma from that. But you know what? You got about the other day I was at a public school out here in Sterling Heights, and I watched 6 Coca-Cola trucks pull up in the back.
Wow.
Okay, and the Fritos trucks and blah, blah, blah. I can go on and on. These kids are fat. They don't exercise. They smell that the fumes on the school buses. When I was a kid, I went to De La Salle. I was at the Detroit City Airport.
Right.
I walked to school. I walked back. 3.5 miles each way.
Now, God, I feel like I've heard this story before.
Well, I know. Hey, you can laugh all you want, but I'm in great shape today because of that.
Good.
I learned great ethics or great or whatever you want to call it. De La Salle taught me. The Christian Brothers taught me a great way to live other than these public schools. I look at these kids today. We got a wussy society. Everybody's blaming commerce and everything like that. What about, and I agree with you, what about the school buses? What about the soccer moms that sleep all day? Why don't they drive their kids to work? Have carpooling or something, drive them kids to school. They had the kids. Why don't they take care of them? All I know is when I grew up, we never had school buses. We walked to school, walked home. We had these diets in school that were nothing but fruits and vegetables and meats. They didn't allow.
God, I remember we had pardon me. We had the mystery meat. We had
soy burgers, but they weren't soy.
Burgers, oh, God. But, I had to walk, too. In fact, I lived probably the farthest away and still went to the same the school that we could. So, yeah, I had to walk. I mean, you're walking in the, it's like zero, and you had to.
Well, there's a whole different set of things to worry about in these days, like pedophiles. And I mean, I hate to say it, but it happens on the way to school.
But, part of it is that people are so far away from their schools. But, you know, it does sound like, you know, there's old Monty Python routine. These old guys are sitting around. They said, yeah, when I was a kid, we lived in a shoebox. And he said, you had a shoebox? You're lucky. We lived in the middle of the street. All right, John. Yes. Thank you. I guess this is what I was going to say. What did he say that reminded me of this? But I was reading this article. It's called Extreme Cheapskates, Tightwads Revel in Frugality.
I did.
Yeah. So it's about these people that just try to, that don't buy everything new. And it said, it was talking about a guy that spent like $100 on, on clothing in the last 10 years or something like that.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know, I have a friend who you know, who's a Spanish teacher.
Yes.
And he goes to he teaches at this ritzy school, and they have, what do they call those things? Rummage sales.
Yeah.
And so he and I are different sides. And he comes back, and he gives me like 2 or 3 shirts and stuff. I said, wow, these are nice shirts. I said, what do I owe you? He said, they cost me $0.25.
Wow.
And so, and also.
He's frugal.
Yeah. So he dresses completely in rummage sale stuff.
He's always looked fine to me.
Yeah. And I know a friend of ours who's a professional at the University of Michigan who just buys in resale shops.
Wonderful.
So in this article in Yahoo News, it says the trend is disturbing for merchants that people now are beginning to look at discretionary purchases, right?
Yeah.
Who are already reeling from sharp pullback by spenders. Such extreme miserly behavior could only worsen the decline in consumer spending. So this, again, is sort of the blackmail thing. I mean, you gotta have to be a big-time consumer or you're letting down our system, right?
Right.
Yeah. And the problem with this system is that there's no such thing as equilibrium or stasis. It always has to be driving forward with more and more consumption.
I've really cut down on my consumerism in the last couple of years, and part of it was forced. But, you
caused the recession.
Right. Probably.
Well,
right?
Yeah, as people have less discretionary income. But yeah. I was thinking, I was coming back from the East Coast last week on a plane, and I picked up the Northwest Sky Mall thing.
Oh, the catalog.
The little catalog. So you can buy things like the continuously refreshing feline drinking fountain.
Oh, my kitties would love that.
Yeah, I know. But, I can't find all these pages of this nonsense that you can get. If I had it all... stain-resistant rug for high-traffic areas. So it's not just about buying cars and some of the, like washing machines. It's buying this endless mountain of worthless doodads.
Yeah. They do have some doodads, don't they?
Yeah, a lot of it's for pets. What is this? The complete pet travel set. So you put your little doggy in kind of a, like a suitcase that you roll. So the point that the system has become dependent upon us buying mountains of junk. And if we don't, well, maybe we'll just send people out of work in other countries or something like that, right?
Well, most of it, probably.
But on the other hand, the rich are still going. They're creating a new shopping mall in New Jersey called Xanadu.
Yeah, and what is that all about?
It's just, for the ultra-rich. I wonder if this is going to happen, though. It's going to have a 286-foot Ferris wheel inside, sponsored by Pepsi.
Go figure.
Yeah. So that's difficult. We ought to have a system that has some that is at ease, that we can just produce what we need, that it doesn't always have to be this high energy, high production, high consumption thing, or we're out of jobs and the system's collapsing. But I don't know. That's not on the agenda. Let's take a call or two more. Here's Ray. Hey, Ray, hi. This is Peter and Jolene. You're on the air.
Hi.
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 There's a number of different things I was listening to. You had a lot of good callers on there and a lot of very smart, intuitive people.
Sure.
And, yes, Cedar Rapids does stink.
It does. Thank you.
And Roger tells us so does Madrid, Spain. Our
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I want to ask is a very pointed question.
Come on. We're all ears. Yeah.
Eligibility to be president. Natural born citizen.
Oh,
this has just been brought up. These right wing nut jobs have just collected, for some reason or other, the people that have no, that just hate Obama. There's like 300,000 of them signed this petition, and it was just presented to Chief Justice John Roberts.
It was?
Yeah, yeah. And he said he'd look into it. But even
it's not
this,
going anywhere.
I heard this right wing talk show host that would say, don't even worry about it. There's no reason to think, Ray, that he's not a natural born citizen. That's just
really
the insanity that these right wingers have put together.
He hasn't proven any of it, and he's actually put forth a bunch of lawyers like O.J. Simpson did to make sure that it's never released.
I got to tell you, who would be dumb enough to run for president knowing that you have to, if you weren't
a citizen?
That's
not a pretty comparison. In fact, I would say that's a totally obnoxious comparison, but thank you. Here, Maurice, can you do it quickly?
Yeah.
And cleanly.
Yeah. What would be the difference between the Social Security system and the Ponzi scheme that Madoff did? Basically, I don't see no difference in it.
Yeah, well, there is a difference. No one says you're paying interest and make up a whole set of trades that never occurred. What you're saying is, look, your parents are, I'm sorry, the other way around. You're paying for your parents, right? Our kids are going to pay for us, and it's just the way it goes. All right, thank you, Maurice, for that. It's not a Ponzi scheme. And by the way, here's some of the stuff you can buy. The original sleep sound generator for $49.95, the compression leg massager for $149.95, and something that I would like to keep track of people who I know, the wireless remote-controlled pan and tilt surveillance camera. $249. So buy it or face depression.
Right.
Yeah. Jillian Jordan, thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.
Roger, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of you for listening and for calling. And stay tuned. We have a couple of very interesting interviews right after these.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more Night Call right after this.
On your radio, on your computer, and now on your brand new iPhone 3G.
Your new Apple iPhone 3G connects you to 101 WRIF from anywhere in the world.
Damn, we're going to get you on.
Log on and listen worldwide at WRIF.com.
The Riff.
When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-493-8159. Now you have qualified help in dealing with the IRS. This is the second chance you never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-493-8159. Call right now for your second chance. 1-800-493-8159. That's 1-800-493-8159.
Attention! Hydralyze is currently seeking participants with dark circles and puffy eyes. If you have dark circles or bags around your eyes due to heredity, fatigue, or aging, you are eligible to see results and participate in the Hydralyze trial. Hydralyze was introduced to improve delicate skin around the eyes and now has been shown to eliminate dark circles and bags. It effectively diminishes even dark circles caused by heredity. To participate in the Hydralyze trial and see results risk-free, call 1-800-505-7931. Fragile capillaries around the eye can leak, allowing blood to pool beneath the skin like an ugly bruise. But right now, you can join the thousands of people who have seen their dark circles fade away, watched as bags literally disappeared from view. Participate in the free trial by calling today. If you're serious about getting rid of your dark circles or bags around the eyes, you are eligible to participate and experience results with Hydralyze. Call this number today, 1-800-505-7931. Once more, that's 1-800-505-7931.
If you want to own a new computer but think you can't get credit, listen to this. Now you're approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer for just $29.99 a week. There's no credit check, no hassles, and you won't be turned down. Just call Tronics Country at 1-800-990-2258. If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for 12 months, you're approved for a new computer guaranteed. Even if you have bad credit or no credit, you will not be turned down. And with Tronics Country's program, you can help improve your credit rating. Call Tronics Country now for a brand new name brand computer or wireless laptop. Call right now, and with your paid purchase, you'll also get a free 20-inch LCD TV and a free color printer. Call Tronics Country right now at 1-800-990-2258. 1-800-990-2258. That's 1-800-990-2258.
Celebrate the look of the Irish and get your St. Patrick's Day rocking with 101 WRIF. First, join Mike in the Morning's Judy Daniels and Mark Benhauer, broadcasting live at Malarkey's on the corner of E Weekend, Dix, Toledo Roads, and Southgate. Next, it's the wee lass, Annie Carlini, partying up at Rosie O'Grady's on 23 Mile Road in Chesterfield Township. The party continues with Screamin' Scott Randall at Pat O'Brien's, 10 Mile and Jefferson in St. Clair Shores. Grab your limited edition WRIF St. Patrick's Day t-shirts, stickers, beads, and giveaways at all three parties throughout the day. Come celebrate the look of the Irish and make your St. Patrick's Day rock with 101 WRIF.
Everything that rocks. 101 WRIF and WRIF HD1 Detroit.
We're back with more Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's Peter Werby.
Thank you very much for joining me. Peter Werby here with you. You have probably heard me mention a couple of books over the years that have been so influential on my thinking that kind of just took a lot of my thoughts about different parts of the world and distilled them in a wonderful way. One of them, and I was looking at it just the other day, I was surprised about how old it is. It's four arguments for the elimination of television. The other one is in the absence of the sacred. And we're going to make mention of that with our author who is on the phone. He's Jerry Mander, and he's the author of both of those books. And way back when, I interviewed him with the first edition of Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television, also in the absence of the sacred. And he has a book, I think was the last one that we spoke to him about. It was called The Case Against the Global Economy. This was way back when. Not that long ago, but before all of this had kind of come to a head. Pardon me. Now, Jerry Mander is the director of the International Forum on Globalization, and that is a San Francisco think tank, and it's focused since 1994 on exposing the negative impacts of economic globalization. He's founded the country's first nonprofit ad agency in 1971, Public Media Center, and is also a prolific author. He has gotten together with an author from Hawaii, Kuhan Pak, and written about a ferry that the state of Hawaii wanted to have to connect a couple of islands. And actually, even in the publicity material, it says, why such an outrage over a ferry boat? The book is called The Super Ferry Chronicles, pardon me, Hawaii's Uprising Against Militarism, Commercialism, and the Desecration of the Earth. There's a lot there. Jerry Mander, welcome back to the Peter Werby Show.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be back on the show.
Yeah. And when did Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television first appear?
That came out in 1977.
Oh, my.
People are going to think I'm old.
People are going to think I'm old. Maybe it was the second or third edition.
that was the first edition, 1977.
No, I'm talking about when I interviewed you. And I'm thinking, but I could have been way back then. But Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television, 32 years ago, the four arguments, do they still hold true today?
Well, I think they do. I think, actually, if anything, television's gotten more superficial, more commercialized, more centrally controlled, more mind-boggling, more dumbifying than it ever was even then. It's just become more and more of an instrument of centralized power and homogenized thought, and it's not any better than it was then. It's probably a lot worse.
I don't know what a bellwether I am, but I proudly said in 1977 or whenever I interviewed you, I don't even own a television. I now have a 32-inch flat screen with HD in it. So I can't remember. You then did not have a television. Do you have one now?
I own a television. I think I did even then. Maybe I lied to you. I don't know. But I have it on rollers, you know, so I can put it in the closet when I'm not using it. I don't watch television. I do watch videos, however. I'm very into movies and other, you know, related kind of stuff, and I do use it that way. The only thing I really like to see on television is resignations of presidents of whom I don't like. So then, other than that, I don't watch the daily television except to do my occasional check-ins on research, what's going on television.
You know, which
reminds me why I don't watch it.
Yes, well, I mentioned how influential the book was in my thinking, and now I'm trying to remember all the four arguments, which we won't go through, but one of them was, wasn't it the unification of experience?
Yeah, it's when you get the whole world sitting and watching television for 4 or 5 hours per day, more than 70% of the production of television right now is controlled by 8 corporations globally. They all have different names, but they're centralized corporations under, you know, Sony owns 35 different television companies, and General Electric owns, you know, a similar number, and so on. But there's actually basically 8 corporations that control about 70% of all global media. If everybody's sitting in front of the screen watching for 4 or 5 hours per day, which is more or less the average in the world, then you're going to get an instrument of that can speak imagery into the minds of the entire world. Very, very similar imagery, basically commercially oriented imagery or commercially beneficial imagery, and promoting a centralized lifestyle, centralized thought pattern, commercialized thought patterns, commercialized experience, and then 4 or 5 hours a day. That's more time than people spend doing anything else besides sleeping or working or going to school. And it's a big chunk of people's lives, and that's their experience of the world, watching television. I think they're seeing things that are real, but basically they're seeing processed imagery that is coming to them from a very small number of corporations.
Yeah, one group called it the triumph of the spectacle. We watch
passively. That's right.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
society of the spectacle.
The society of the spectacle, indeed. Well, this is not our, I just kind of want to perhaps even set that as a context for Jerry Mander's new book, which he's written with Kuhan Pak, which is the Super Ferry Chronicles. And the Super Ferry was just a big boat, bigger than a football field, that was going to ferry people around the Hawaiian Islands. And on the face of it, he said, well, that's a good idea. What was wrong with it, Jerry Mander?
At first, everybody thought it was a good idea. They thought it was a great idea because it was sold as in the days of its original proposal in 2001, which was when they first started to talk about it. The Super Ferry Corporation, which was created by somebody named Timothy Dick, sold it as going to be this great friendly little inter-island ferry service, and people could easily jump on the ferry and go visit their relatives on some other island, and local farmers can carry their produce and sell them on another island, and people could take their cars and go for little joyrides on some other island and then come back, and it was just going to be the greatest fun and the greatest experience. But it didn't turn out to be like that at all. People's vision of what that ferry was going to be, and I, by the way, love ferries. I grew up with ferries, and I think ferries are terrific. They're very social and real nice.
Sure.
And they can get you around very nicely. But what turned out to be happening, though, was that they were building a ferry that was completely out of scale for Hawaii. It was a very, very, very big, the size of a football field and a half, 5 stories high, and it ran 40 to 45 miles per hour. And around the Hawaiian Islands, it was running at that speed. It intended to run at that speed and does now run at that speed right through these gigantic whale birthing grounds and endangered sea turtle grounds and dolphin areas, and is very, 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 very dangerous. It's like driving a car fast through a playground.
I thought you guys had stopped it.
Well, it has been stopped going to the island of Kauai.
Okay.
Based on a gigantic uprising in Kauai. And it was stopped going from the island to the island of the big island. But it still continues to run once a day. It was originally supposed to run 2 or 3 times a day to Maui. But it's still running once a day, and there's a long story involved in how that all happened, involving incredibly corrupt actions on the part of the governor of the state and the corporation. But so people liked the idea of the ferry, and then they started to realize all these terrible environmental problems associated with it, and they said, wait a minute, before you put that thing in the water, it wasn't even finished being produced yet, but people got wind of what size it was and how fast it was going to run and how many cars is going to supposed to bring 300 cars to these little islands, which are already overcrowded, and pollution and traffic and so on already hurting these islands, and 800 people are supposed to be dumped on these little tiny islands. People said, we want an environmental impact statement. And that was kind of the central argument for a while, and the people were demanding an environmental impact statement, and the governor was refusing to do one, and the company was refusing to do one, and nobody could figure out why they didn't want to do one.
And this is a Democratic governor, right?
No, this is a Republican governor, a right-wing Republican governor,
My dad. In Hawaii?
He's the one who introduced Sarah Palin at the Republican convention.
In paradise? A Republican in paradise? Okay.
Well, it's very unusual. She started out as kind of a so-called progressive Republican back in when she first moved to Hawaii. She's not from Hawaii. And she first moved there, and she was working on a small island of Molokai, which is a largely native Hawaiian island, about 80% native Hawaiian, and was the editor of a small local newspaper. Very, 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 very progressive ideas, very good, and was very, very well liked at that time. And then she moved over to Maui, where her family owned a big auto dealership, and she turned into this raging business promoter and turned Maui, you know, into a little bit of Honolulu, and, you know, for a beautiful, pristine, gorgeous island with perfect coral reefs and beaches and mountain farming and so on. Turned it into just a big commercial, globalized, or tried to turn it completely into that, and did a lot of damage there, and then ran for governor, and by then was a really very strong conservative, and had backing of you know, all the big, the Bush family and other people on the mainland, and was elected governor. And then all of a sudden, while she's governor, the super ferry idea came along, and there was an owner, the owner of the super ferry was no longer the original one, but a guy who bought into it in 2004 named John F. Lehman, who's a very infamous right-wing Republican who spent $90 million and bought his way into the company to a controlling share. And he's very, very high up in the Republican Party. He was the Secretary of Navy under Ronald Reagan. He advocated for a 600-ship Navy, you know, so U.S. could dominate all the seas of the world. He's a member of the Project for New American Century, you know, they want to invade Iraq and Syria and North Korea and so on. And he was going to be John McCain's, if John McCain had been elected president, Lehman was slated, according to the New York Times, to be appointed the chief of staff. He would have been Lehman's, he would have been McCain's Rahm Emanuel. And so Lingle suddenly was dealing with John Lehman, and she saw her future really in being really nice to John Lehman and to the Republican powers that be, and didn't care at all about what the people of Hawaii really wanted, and started promoting the super ferry no matter what, and refused to let him do an environmental impact statement, and you know, circumvent it in various ways, and sent the boat, and then there was a lawsuit demanding an environmental impact statement by the Sierra Club and some others, which won in 2007, which won and demanded that for the boat, it was a 5-0 ruling of the Hawaii State Supreme Court, and it demanded that before the boat gets put in the water, there has to be an environmental impact statement.
You would think, yeah.
But she circumvented that completely. She said it doesn't really apply, and she found manipulative ways of getting around it. So I'd go into greater detail, a little bit technical. But she got around it, and she sent the boat off to go to Kauai on its maiden voyage. And that's when the uprising took place.
And there was like, well, let me reintroduce you and the book as well. My guest is Jerry Mander. He's co-authored with Kuhan Pak the book, The Super Ferry Chronicles. And this is talking about it, Hawaii's uprising against militarism, commercialism, and the desecration of the earth. And Jerry Mander, you and your firm is in San Francisco. How did you get involved with Kuhan Pak, who lives in Hawaii, and about trying to stop this super ferry?
Did you ask how did I get involved?
Yeah, I mean, you're 3,000 miles away.
She's a friend of mine for many years, and I was a frequent visitor to Hawaii. I have many, many friends in Hawaii, and, you know, it's just we're a lot closer to Hawaii than the rest of the country is, and so I go very, very often. And I've been watching what's been going on in Hawaii, the incredible overdevelopment, the growth at any cost, you know, pushing up against the limits of the ability of these islands to absorb more people, more high-rise development, more hotels, more tourists, more cars. And they're all suffering now, and the character of these islands has been massively changed, and an environmental movement has developed on some of these islands. And Kuhan Pak was one of the activists on Kauai, which is a small, very beautiful island called the Garden Island. It's the smallest of the island, very small population, but a very aware population, and a mixed population, Native Hawaiian, and then Filipino and Japanese descendants of plantation workers from the old days, and then there's the New Age whites who move there looking for Shangri-La, you know.
Yeah.
And then there are a lot of rich people who buy these giant estates up in the hills and so on, but they were all really, really, really beginning to become unified in a way that they never had before in the face of this gigantic development intrusion, mainly led by Linda Lingle in recent years, and also military development on the islands. There's a tremendous amount of military development on the islands. And they were unable to stop any of it. And then all of a sudden along came the super ferry, and people just flipped out. They said, well, why can't we get an environmental impact statement? What, that's the law. Why can't we get that? And they decided, okay, let's get down to the dock and block this thing.
Well, I was going to say, suddenly it leaps from political maneuvering and environmental impact statements and the Super Ferry Chronicles that suddenly there's 1,500 protesters on Kauai's pier. How did it leap?
Yeah, it's a very small island, you have to remember. 1,500 people is a huge percentage of the population there. There had never been a protest like that on Kauai before, and it was just very spontaneous. When they realized the governor was sending that boat, despite the state Supreme Court ruling saying she couldn't send the boat, and she sent it anyway, and the boat went, and then it shows up in Kauai Harbor, these 1,500 people are all there on the dock saying, don't come here, we want an environmental impact statement. And soon, several dozen of them, of the surfers who were there, who are really non-political for the most part, leaped into the water and got on their surfboards and went paddling out right underneath this gigantic catamaran, right underneath these catamaran blades, and, you know, just said, you can't pass here, and they just got right in the way of the boat, and sort of like Tiananmen Square in the water of Kauai, and the boat stopped. It couldn't make it into port.
So it never reached
It finally did on that first night. It finally did many hours later in darkness. It finally made it, you know, the Coast Guard managed to move these people out of the way enough so the boat could slide through. But then the next day it came back again. And twice as many people went in the water and went on the docks, and that time the boat didn't make it into the port, and it turned around and went back, and it's never come back since.
Wow.
It's a real success story.
Was there
a local uprising which actually succeeded in stopping something?
Well, I was just watching. Blue Hawaii with Elvis Presley. Why, I don't know, but was there a big celebration? I imagine, I don't know if they even a proper term. Luau, was there
very, very glad, but then right after that, the governor, who suddenly seemed to have such a stake in this thing, she came to Kauai and to tell the people that if they protested anymore, they were going to get arrested under terrorism laws.
Wow.
And they were going to get a $10,000 fine and up to 5 years in jail. And you know, she was trying to scare the people. Instead, what happened is they all talked to her for 3 hours at this public meeting, and the most beautiful, most eloquent statements were being made by the people about the land and saving the environment and how could she do this? How could she overrule the Supreme Court? And how could she this and that? And, you know, we have about 30 of those statements in the book. They're just really beautiful statements and really from the heart. So meanwhile, she managed to pass another law which theoretically, from her point of view, circumvented the need for an environmental impact statement, and called Act Two. And now the Sierra Club has sued again, and that's back in the Hawaii Supreme Court about whether her law was a legal circumvention and whether any of her actions in any of this regard were really legal. And that's, we'll hear the result of that very shortly.
Jerry Mander is my guest. He's a co-author of the Super Ferry Chronicles, Hawaii's Uprising Against Militarism, Commercialism, and the Desecration of the Earth. He's written it with Kuhan Pak, and it's published by Koa Books, KOABooks.com. You can go to SuperFerryChronicles.com, SuperFerryChronicles.com. There'll also be a link on my website, PeterWerby.com. We're talking, though, Jerry, about an investment, obviously, in the tens of millions of dollars. And the promoters, the owners, the investors, they're just kind of saying, oh, well, I guess we lost this one. You wouldn't think so.
No. First of all, there's another wrinkle in the story that we haven't gotten to yet, and that's the militarism part of the story. As I mentioned earlier, John Lehman his company is a military investing company. It invests in military projects and in various, you know, military contracts of various kinds. And he's in New York. What they promoted as a local, you know, friendly little ferry service is now owned by a gigantic investment company, military investment company in New York. And as I mentioned, he was a former Secretary of the Navy under Ronald Reagan. He had very, very ambitious plans for the development of a very elaborate fleet for the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans, 600-ship Navy. And he's a very aggressive military guy, and he was an advocate for winnable nuclear war. He wanted Reagan to have a first strike capability and to be willing to use it. That was back in the 1980s. But he's the owner of this company, and people started saying, why is this guy owning this little neighborhood ferry service, you know? And soon after he bought into the company and became the primary shareholder, he appointed a new board of directors, and the board of directors is now dominated by guys just like him who are former admirals and high-up Navy officials and government contractors and people like that. And his new CEO was Admiral Thomas Fargo, who's the former commander of all U.S. military operations in the Pacific under Donald Rumsfeld and George W. Bush. And so all of a sudden you have this mini Pentagon running this, it's supposed to be this ferry service that carries vegetables and neighbors around between the islands. And what is it all about? What does it mean?
Yeah.
And why is it so gigantic? And why does it run at those high speeds? And why does it use 12,000 gallons of gas on a short round trip? And it's like, why is it built like this? What's it all about? And then we find that came up, you know, began to show up in the mid 2000 years, that the actual manufacturer of the super ferry, a company called Austal Corporation that contracted with the super ferry, which is originally an Australian company that moved to the U.S. in order to get military contracts within the U.S., had applied to build a whole fleet of boats under the Navy Littoral Combat Ship Program and the Joint High-Speed Ferry Program, and the model that they were using to build for the Navy was a high-speed aluminum catamaran shallow water ferry exactly like the Hawaii Super Ferry. And suddenly everybody got it that this Hawaii Super Ferry is a prototype for that contract to make their case that they know how to build an effective boat that runs in the Pacific and can be used for military operations, you know, in case of, you know, war with somebody, with China or somebody in the Pacific. And this is a high-speed, maneuverable, you know, light boat that can carry a huge number of military equipment and people, and could be outfitted like a warship. And the basic design, in all basic terms, is exactly the same. So then we suddenly realize, oh, that's why they don't want an environmental impact statement. It suddenly all got clear to everybody. They don't want an environmental impact statement because they got to keep that boat in the water, because that boat is a prototype and it's going to affect their contract negotiations. And just late 2008, they got the first 10, they got a contract to make the first 10 of the joint high-speed vessel ships. It's basically the Super Ferry design, and it's for $1.6 billion.
Thank you.
And so suddenly we said, okay, well, that's what it's all about. It's really about a prototype. Why? It's the only thing that explains this board of directors, these high-up military people involved, and the scale and the speed and the size and the capabilities of this kind of boat when it was completely wrong for Hawaii.
I was going to say, that 12,000 gallons of gas, how could they even hope to make a profit ferrying people around from one island to the next?
Well, they'd have to run it they'd have to run at almost capacity, and they'd have to have huge cargo shipments. And, of course, originally in their application, they said they were going to carry Army Striker tanks between the islands for training areas. They expected to get those big contracts. And
hey, what if you know, the Japanese might hit Pearl Harbor again? You never can tell. You know, Jerry Mander, we're almost out of time. We got a little bit left. And, of course, to really get the details of this and some of the very moving statements of the people involved, the book is where to go. The Super Ferry Chronicles, Hawaii's Uprising Against Militarism, Commercialism, and a Desecration of the Earth. SuperFerryChronicles.com is the website. There'll also be a link on my site at Peter Werbe, WERBE.com. But we have a minute left, and that's probably a lot to summarize, but where's this all going? Is it going to come to a resolution?
Well, as I say, it's in the Supreme Court right now. We expect a decision. Could happen any time. If the Supreme Court decides that the act, you know, that the governor acted illegally and the boat acted illegally by defying the environmental impact statement ruling, that could stop the boat completely. Mm-hmm. As it is, most of the runs that were originally planned are not operating. The one to Kauai is not operating. The one to the Big Island is not operating. There's only one run a day operating to Maui. And they're running very low capacity. They're running only at about 40% of capacity. So the project is losing money.
Yeah.
So I think if the Supreme Court rules against them, they're going to either shut down or they'll sell the boat to the Army or to the Navy. And they had two boats originally, and one of them is already for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that's what will happen with this one. Of course, and if so, that'll be just a tremendous statement about how local communities can really get together and rise up against the long arm of global, you know, absentee owner corporations.
I was going to say, you can fight City Hall, but the main quality is you have to fight. The book, the Super Ferry Chronicles, again, you can go to superferrychronicles.com. My website will have a link as well. Get Jerry's other books as well. Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television, a must as far as I'm concerned, also in the absence of the sacred. Jerry Mander, that's Mander. Jerry, thanks we can't do this every 32 years, can we? All right.
I'll hurry up and write another book.
All right, thank you so much.
Peter.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with another guest right after this.
Whoever controls technology controls the world.
Listening to the Riff has never been easier. Unravel iPhone 3G. Hit the iTunes Store. Download the free WRIF app. Connect with just one price and listen to 101 WRIF from anywhere in the world.
Details at WRIF.com.
101.
Is your debt getting bigger? Are you falling behind on your bills and receiving collection calls? Well, it's not your fault. Millions of Americans are buried in credit card debt because of a job loss, divorce, medical bills, or just bad luck. But now there's a way you can get debt-free faster than you ever imagined. Call Credit Guard of America today for free information, and you'll learn how you can cut your monthly payments by up to half, lower or even eliminate your interest rates, and stop the collection calls once and for all. For free information, call 1-800-709-6136.
We owed $25,000 to the credit card companies. This year, we're going to be debt-free.
Credit Guard of America won't just help you get debt-free. We'll even show you how to improve your credit status.
They helped me pay off 10 credit cards and rebuild my credit rating.
Call us today to learn how you can cut your monthly payments by up to half and get debt-free. For free information, call 1-800-709-6136. That's 1-800-709-6136.
Please stay tuned to the following public announcement. The government and private banks are liquidating houses now. These houses have been foreclosed, confiscated, or repossessed, and will be sold. Homes may be sold for very little money down. To learn how to receive a free list of foreclosures, call 800-354-8211. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N are allowed to start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Every house must be sold. The government and banks are very motivated to sell these homes quickly, so listings may not always remain available in all areas. So act now. I repeat, this is a public announcement. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N can start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Call CRN's national toll-free hotline to learn how to receive your free foreclosure list at 800-354-8211. That's 800-354-8211.
If your credit card debt has gotten out of control, if you're over your head at monthly payments, here's one powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. You have the right to settle your credit card debt for a fraction of what you owe, allowing you to cut your debt up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Consumer Debt Advocate, and we'd like to offer you a free consultation that will help you start eliminating credit card debt. For your free consultation that will set you free, call 1-800-984-6953. Don't ruin your credit by declaring bankruptcy. Settle your debt and move on with your life. During your free consultation, you'll find out what the credit card companies don't want you to know. For your free consultation that will help you settle your credit card debt for a fraction of what you owe, call today. The number is 1-800-984-6953. 1-800-984-6953.
Did you know the tap water in your home may be hazardous? Not to your health, but to your appliances and your wallet. Your home's hard water creates pipe clogging line scale, and that can shorten the life of your water heater, ruin your dishwasher, and break down your washing machine. Line scale deposits block the heating element, which costs you up to 25% more. That's an extra $1,200 a year in energy and wear. But you can remove line scale without chemicals, magnets, or salts. It's easy. With HydraCare, the patented device used worldwide. See for yourself at bestsoftwater.com. You simply clip HydraCare to your main water pipe. HydraCare removes and prevents line scale buildup in your entire plumbing system. Guaranteed. If your home has hard water, extend the life of your appliances and save money with HydraCare. Just go to bestsoftwater.com. Lower your energy costs. Visit bestsoftwater.com. That's bestsoftwater.com.
If you have acne, here's a phone number you need to call. 1-800-335-4191. Right now, we're looking for the biggest skeptics out there to test out a skin-clearing breakthrough risk-free. If that's you, give us a call. We're going to prove you can make your acne disappear and have clear skin by sending you a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution absolutely risk-free with our compliments. And when you call now, we'll also send you our Green Tea Moisturizer, a featherlight serum that absorbs instantly to deliver deep hydration for free. Call 1-800-335-4191. Our combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin and skeptics into believers. You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put Proactive to the test, and we'll prove it. Get your free soothing green tea moisturizer with your risk-free 60-day trial by calling now. 1-800-335-4191. 1-800-335-4191.
Now, Night Call is back. On 101 WRIF Detroit, here's your host, Peter Werby.
Thank you very much for joining me. It's a pleasure to be with you. Peter Werby here. You know, what would you do, you, the radio listener, and what would I do if everything absolutely collapsed? I mean, when you have an economic crisis like we're in right now, you can always imagine the worst-case scenario. The worst-case scenario would be everything stops. No more food at the grocery store, no more electricity from, when you switch on the light or whatever. I don't think necessarily that's going to happen, but there's always a good idea to, what do we say in the Boy Scouts? Be prepared. Well, there's two things you could do. One would be to just put your head between your legs and kiss your butt goodbye, to be indelicate. But the other thing would be to pick up a book that's come my way. It's called When Technology Fails, a manual for self-reliance, sustainability, and surviving the long emergency. It's revised and expanded. The author is Matthew Stein, and Matthew Stein is a graduate of MIT. He majored in mechanical engineering. He's done a lot to design and build hurricane-resistant and energy-efficient and environmentally friendly houses. He, interestingly, is an active mountain climber and serves as a guide trainer for blind skiers with the Ski for Light cross-country program, and he resides with his wife in the High Sierra Mountains with near Lake Tahoe. That's where he's joining us. Matt Stein, welcome to the Peter Werby Show.
Oh, Peter, thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Glad to do it. Well, this is a book. It's huge. It's heavy. It's almost 500 pages. In the event, even of, say, an emergency through a tornado up here or in other parts of the country where people are listening to, hurricanes or what have you, earthquakes out where you guys are, why do we need 500 pages to be the Boy Scouts, be prepared? Why that much information?
Well, the book is really a Bible for emergency preparedness combined with survival plus green and healthy living. So it's really kind of the information to have at your fingertips for navigating this new century where the world that we knew, that where everything was stable and always worked and you could buy what you want and trust that your 401ks would be there tomorrow and the next day and the next day, that world is kind of over. We're entering a new period now, and knowledge is power. You won't necessarily read the whole book, and you won't necessarily do a lot of the stuff in the book, but you want to have that insurance. You want to have that comfort zone, knowing that you have the basics for you and your family and that you're prepared at some level to deal with meltdowns. Now, having the book on your bookcase also means that if that day comes, and we all hope it never comes, but that's what insurance is about. You know, you buy car insurance and you hope you never get into a wreck.
Sure.
But you thank God you got the insurance if that day does come. So that day may come where you say, you know, maybe Pakistan and India threw some nukes at each other. Maybe the financial meltdown went ratcheted up to another level and things are really falling apart. And you say, I'm going to pull that book down and I'm going to up my level to the next level. I'm going to go to the next level of preparedness. And that's where that extra information comes in.
Mm-hmm. Or, as I said, just a natural disaster. Tornadoes here where we haven't had one come right through. Well, actually, one came right through Detroit. I forgot, maybe 15 years ago or something, did enormous damage. But one of the things that I always think about in my house, if the electricity goes out, I've got a number of things prepared for heating, but I'm not going to have my furnace because it's driven by an electric fan.
That's right.
And so what happens if even the lights are out in your house for 4 days, the electricity? And a lot of people in Ohio and Michigan recently have suffered that because of the ice storms.
Yeah, I remember in Vermont. I'm from Vermont, and I wasn't there for the super ice storm 10 years ago, whenever it was. But I remember there's places in northern Vermont and eastern Canada that were out of power for 2 to 3 weeks because they had poles just snapped like toothpicks all over. Now imagine if it's like it is in your area now where you said it's 12 degrees this morning. Imagine now if you got 3 weeks or 2 weeks or even 1 week without power, how much time does it take for your pipes to start bursting? You know, can you afford $20,000 to go and rip all the plumbing out in your house and replace it? I mean, I was, a couple winters ago, I was down in Santa Cruz camping in some unusually warm weather, and that week turned and it went from record warm to record cold. And my wife said, I'm sick, the weather changed, we've got to go home. I said, oh, let's just wait another day, no problem. When we got home, we had a furnace with, and the igniter on our furnace went out. And I got into the house, and all the plants were frozen. And I looked inside the toilet bowl and the tank, and it was bizarre. It was three-dimensionally filled with ice crystals. You could scoop your hand in there and just come up with a full of ice. If we had gotten back the following morning, every plumbing fixture, every piece of piping inside the walls and underneath our house would have been burst. Now, in that case, it was just a broken part. But if it's a case of igniter, you know, of power going out, you might have 100,000, a million people in your area in that same case where their buildings, everything burst and everything broke. And if you don't have a little backup heater to protect you in that event, or you know how to drain your plumbing in the winter, and then you'll be stuck just like those other people. Now imagine trying to get a plumber out there to fix your plumbing if a half a million people are in the same boat as you.
And that's kind of information that's in your book, When Technology Fails. It's published by Chelsea Green. And, you know, it's interesting. This, you mentioned, I don't know if you said survivalism, but survival guide. And usually this kind of survival apocalyptic preparation is associated with the right wing, that usually their level of paranoia is much, much higher than the average person or people on the left. Does this book have politics?
The book does have some politics, because a significant portion of the book is devoted to green and clean living, and there's parts of it which says, okay, this is what's happening in our world. You know, I have a bachelor of science from MIT and scientific training. When I was doing the research to put this book together, the second chapter called Present Trends, Possible Futures, that's a synopsis of all of the best writings, scientific and eco-writings, of the state of the world and the trends in the world. And unfortunately, there's about a half dozen different trends that if you continue them out a few decades, they all end in collapse of our society. It doesn't mean we're going to collapse our world, but it means that if we continue doing business as usual, I can guarantee you with 100% certainty, we will collapse our world and everything will fall apart and you'll be in the worst case scenario. So part of my book is about dealing with varying levels of those things falling apart, you know what, hitting the fan. And the other part, another part is saying, you know, we're not stupid people on this planet. We've got a lot of smart people on this planet. We we can wake up and we can change our course. We can do this. You know, it's like we're in the Titanic headed for the iceberg, but I firmly believe that we can create a sustainable future, that we can avoid that iceberg, but we will not avoid it if we keep doing business as usual.
Well, one of the things, Matthew Stein, that gives you an indication of the possibility of collapse is the fact that you have the foreword to When Technology Fails by Richard Hindberg, famously known for his books on peak oil. So I take it for granted it is not just an accident that he's the one that you chose to write the foreword to your book.
No, it's no accident. In fact, when he wrote his first highly successful book, he'd written several before that, but his first big one was The Party's Over, and he recommended my book as like one of three or four books that everybody should have on hand to deal with future issues coming up in our world. And, you know, we hadn't met at the time, and I was wondering why my book was doing so well on Amazon in the first edition. And it turned out it was because Richard said great things about my book. So we did subsequently get to know each other, and he wrote the foreword to the new edition, which is fully revised and updated and 35% larger than the first edition.
Well, he is, of course, also famously known, as I said, for his work on peak oil, which is one of the possibilities that would lead potentially towards a collapse.
It certainly is. I identify sort of four main areas, four huge threats to the future of stability of our world as we know it, one of which is the eco threat, which is includes climate change, includes collapsing oceans, includes changing weather systems due to deforestation on the planet, and that's one of the big threats. And the second big threat is peak oil, and basically our world is run on a cheap, readily available, easily pumped, easily used high-density energy source, which is oil.
Yeah. And well, when
oil is going away.
Yeah, and particularly now, the pardon me, the Tata is coming online, the Indian car, selling at $2,500, and there's a billion Indians that want to be able to cruise the drive-ins and what we do, cruise Woodward and Gratiot Avenues here in Detroit. Where is that all going to come from? Where in the world are they going to get the gasoline to fuel those little Tatas? Not out of their Tatas, I think.
Well, the thing is, whoever's got the money to buy it is buying it. I mean, China has secured a lot of oil, the world's oil supply. In fact, China, we're running short on a lot of key materials all over the planet right now to maintain our industrial society. As Richard wrote a book called Peak Everything, and he goes deep into great detail on that. And China's been securing, buying up mineral rights for key things like tungstens and rare earths in America. So, I mean, here we are now, we're selling off our future legacy to other countries that have a little more foresight and planning than we do.
Mm-hmm. The book is When Technology Fails, a manual for self-reliance, sustainability, and surviving the long emergency. It's revised and expanded. It's almost 500 pages. It's published by Chelsea Green. You can go to whentechfails.com. There'll be a link on my site as well, peterwerby.com. I'll give you the information again a little later. Let's go a little to the book. I mean, I'm trying to think somehow when this economic catastrophe hit here, I thought the first thing I thought about was keeping warm. So I've got a lot of wood at my house. I've got an open fireplace. I've got a kerosene heater. But there's you need a lot more things to. In fact, maybe heat and warmth is even kind of down the line, right?
Well, heat and warmth is huge if you're in a really cold place like your area, and all of a sudden the power is out and your furnace fan doesn't work and maybe natural gas isn't flowing down the pipeline and water's not flowing. But water is actually the number one issue most of the time, and because most of us, you might not believe it, but most of us could live a month without food. You know, you may not like it, you may not enjoy it, you may not feel good, but you could really survive at least a month without food. Most adults could, maybe not small children, but adults could. Without water, and after a single day, you're in serious discomfort, and in 2 to 3 days in extreme heat, if you have to do physical activity, you know, people will start dying. People will start falling dead. So water is very, very important. And, you know, I once ran out of water climbing El Capitan in Yosemite in record-breaking heat, and it was horrible. I mean, my partner had asked me a question. I'm 150 feet out in a rope. He asked me a question I'd try to answer. My tongue would stick to the roof of my mouth like super glue.
Hmm.
And I start gagging and retching like I'm going to vomit right there. And we climbed the last night through till about midnight with our headlamps on. Key item in my grab-and-run kit, by the way, is a headlamp. And we found the nearest mud puddle and stuck our faces in it and drank. And you will do that. You'll drink out of the most disgusting ditch or duck pond if that's all you have to drink. And so I like to recommend to people in my grab-and-run kits to have devices, and I recommend specific devices for filtering your water and treating your water so that you and your family are safe and can take scummy water and get good, clean, decent-smelling and tasting safe water out of that scummy ditch.
Well, I was going to ask Matthew Stein about ditch water. You talk about that in when technology fails, and somehow in some of the material I've read about your book, people always seem to bring up like ditch water. Like that's the worst thing they can imagine. I can think about keeping myself alive a lot worse than that. I often I make a joke with my wife, which she does not like at all, that I said if it really came down to it, that she and I and our dog would just be sitting there waiting to see who went to sleep first.
Well, there's the famous Donner Party syndrome. I live in the town where the Donner Party had their infamous barbecue about 150 years ago.
And with people being served, yeah.
That's right. Aunt May, you know, when Aunt May died, then Aunt May went into the pot for some of those families. Now, surprisingly, there was a number of families and a number of cabins in the Donner Party, and some of the families had not a single death and did not resort to anything really disgusting like some of them did. And if they had my book with them, then they would have known that they could go out and peel the bark off of trees and go down to the green layer like the deer do when they're starving, and that green layer would keep them alive. And that's valuable information. Let me just give you a little anecdote here.
Well, before you do, tell us about ditch water, though.
Okay, if you've got the great MacGyver gadgets, like I'll give you a couple of wonderful MacGyver gadgets to have on hand, but then I also tell people how to do it the old-fashioned low-tech ways in a variety of ways. So the MacGyver gadget, you got your MSR, Katydyn, backcountry filter. It's got a carbon core. It's got a ceramic exterior that's cleanable or a pleated bacterial membrane. And you just put the tip of that in the water and you pump through the pump into a water bottle and you got clean, good-tasting water. And the carbon in the core takes out noxious chemicals. Like, you know, people in New Orleans, they had floodwaters coming by, chemical plants and pig farms and all that wonderful stuff upstream. So you dip that in there, you get good, safe water. Now, there's another gadget called a SteriPen. Really cool gadget to have. Kind of like the little Men in Black movie. He'd pull his pen out of his pocket and say, look at the light, and click the button, and everybody's
yeah.
memory go away. Well, a SteriPen, you pull it out and you stick it in your water bottle and you click the button and the blue light flashes and all the bugs are zapped and gone. Only downside is it's got nothing to take out bad taste chemicals, and if it's scummy water, you know, meaning it's turbid and not clear, then the SteriPen is not effective in that. So you like to have both on hand, and I also like to keep a little backup of a little teeny bottle, tiny, tiny 1 ounce bottle called Polar Pure. And it's got iodine crystals in there. Your water won't taste very good when you use this, but it'll zap viruses and bugs, most bugs. There's a couple of really hard to kill bugs that your SteriPen will get and the filter will get, but chlorine and iodine and will not handle. And those are called Cryptosporidium, and they survive. They made 400,000 plus people sick in Milwaukee because it survived the town's chlorination system and got into the public water and killed about 111 people and made almost a half a million people sick. So wow. that's a serious bug.
We often hear about what I was joking about eating our dog eating us. What did you ever kitchen test any of this? And why are you talking about the best bugs to eat and everything? What gross us out a bit, Matthew Stein?
If you want the best bugs to eat when push comes to shove, then if it's good enough for your local robin or good enough for the local bear, it's good enough for people. Now, for instance, earthworms, they work. You know, squeeze the bellies or slice them open and take the dirt, because they eat dirt. So, yeah. You know, take the dirt out of the belly. You're not going to like eating dirt. grubs in the local stump, those will work. The grasshoppers, people in Africa, they eat locusts and grasshoppers, pull the heads off, pull the wings and the arms off. They get little nasty barbs on there that kind of wreak havoc with your throat. That'll work. Now, have I taste tested these? I've got to admit, I haven't been that desperate. I've fasted for 10 days in the past, so I have never been that desperate where I've been hungry without food for a day more than once, but out in the backcountry, but I have never gone so far as saying I got to eat that local salamander or that local worm or that local maggot. I haven't gotten to that point yet.
I'm trying to remember. I think grasshoppers in Mexico, chulupas, is that there's a restaurant in Chicago, a Mexican restaurant, where they, if I'm saying the word right, excuse me, my Spanish-speaking friends, if I'm totally, I'm saying some total gringo,
I think I might have had a chalupa before, but I don't think it was a locust or a grasshopper.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I got it. But anyway, there's a Mexican restaurant in Chicago that specializes in that. But let's get back to it. All of this is, I love books like this because it, as you said, it not only has worst-case scenarios, but it saves you from the information here can save you from the worst-case scenario for you as an individual, because, as you said, it talks about so many things having to do with the individual, how you can live a healthier life, and to some extent, off the grid, put a lighter footprint on the planet and all of that. But do you have a sense that things are just going to go to hell? Like I said, the Boy Scouts, be prepared, right? But
be prepared, but I do feel that we're going to see huge bumps in the road. I don't feel that there's any magic wand that's going to be waved by Obama or anybody right now that's going to just make it all better financially. I think you're going to see a lot of problems. I'm hoping that we do the long-term infrastructure investment in our country to get off the oil habit, because if we don't, we will collapse. No question about it. It won't be pretty. So, being prepared on the one sense, it's like, how can we collectively unite to change our course from collapse to sustainability? And individually, it's like, the world is going to do what it's going to do. I'm going to do my best to change the course, but I'm also going to be ready. I'm not going to be like an ostrich with my head in the sand. I'm going to have my eyes open and be ready to do my best for myself and my family.
Well,
now, threat, though, is the bio threat, and that's current. I mean, just a month ago, Miss Brazil, beautiful, beautiful woman, top five finalists in the Miss World pageant, went to the hospital, antibiotic-resistant infection. They pumped her full of antibiotics. That didn't work. They amputated her hands and feet in an attempt to save her life. That didn't work. She died anyways. These are real. In my book on when high-tech medicine fails, there's really great things to have on hand so that you can deal with antibiotic-resistant infections and superbugs that are coming down the pipeline. And these are real. And, just think about it. A couple years back, this guy's getting married. He's got a persistent cough that won't go away. Flies to Europe to get married and honeymoon. The CDC is tracking him all over the world. That's the Center for Disease Control. They end up finally getting him to get off the public planes in Canada, and they send a private jet with guys in bunny suits, meaning the,
hazmat suits,
to keep the bugs off, to escort him back to a CDC center because he had extreme drug-resistant tuberculosis, and they were so worried about it getting out in this country. These threats are real, but there are non-patented herbal and other alternative medicines that work, but they're not pumped by there's no money to be made in them, so they're not pushed by the pharmaceutical companies, and the doctors don't know about them unless you're an alternative MD. And so if you don't have yourself armed with that information, you might end up like Miss World one of these days.
Yeah,
that would be a tragedy.
So much of it in the book, When Technology Fails, by Matthew Stein, and we'll just a few minutes left, so we'll be giving you final information about how to find this book. It's probably available in most good bookstores. Check your independence first, please. But before we do, I have a few basic things, like maybe the Red Cross or somebody would say have the this minimum of stuff in case the lights go out and what have you. But you also talk about your grab-and-run kit, which is also known as a 72-hour kit, short-term emergency. What? And there's 20 items in there, so that would take us too long to name. But what as, A, get the book. B, if what would you advise most people to have at a bare minimum?
Your grab-and-run kit has to have food, medicines, first aid, and basic extra clothing and shelter for you and your family for at least 3 days, because after an emergency, often the authorities are overloaded and they can't deal with it. But in the minimum, you want to have that backcountry filter. Specific recommendations on the website and in the book. Also, I always have a colloidal silver generator. That's the alternative med thing I was talking about, or one of them. And what that does is that makes a tiny charged silver particle in a solution, and it kills all known pathogenic bacteria, and it deactivates viruses. So with that, if there's something serious going around, it may not react as quite as quickly as a good antibiotic, but it works when the antibiotics don't work or when they're not available. I also always have a headlamp in there. That's it's like a flashlight that sticks on your head. Mm-hmm. And the new ones are great. They're so lightweight. The LEDs last for ages, and they're totally waterproof. Leaves your hands free. You can be working on the car in the rain with it. You can be carrying things wherever you point your head, the light beam goes. Always have a first aid kit. I keep a big kit in my grab and run box, but then I keep a little one that I can throw in a backpack if I have to go down the road without my car. And I always have 1.5 inch cloth tape, adhesive first aid tape, because let's face it, most of us, unless you're used to like running a lot and being in the backcountry, most people, if they have to hoof it down the road, they're not used to doing that. A mile or two down the road, they're going to blister up. And once those blisters pop, you're going to be in agony and you're not going anywhere. So before those blisters happen, you feel yourself getting sore, you whip those shoes off, you whip those socks off, take a little bit of that sticky tape and ball it up and scrub your heels or wherever you've got a sore spot with the adhesive to take off the scummy dirt and oils, then throw that away and put some fresh tape on those sore spots. Then you're back and running. You can go down the road if you have to.
Matt, let's do this. We're almost out of time. We got just a matter of seconds left. You wanted to end. You said you had a motto to leave us all with.
Yeah, here is my motto. I want everybody to do your best to change the world and do your best to be ready for the changes in the world. Now, thank you so much, Peter, for having me on today.
Well, I want to thank you, Matthew Stein. Matthew Stein is the author of When Technology Fails, A Manual for Self-Reliance, Sustainability, and Surviving the Long Emergency, forward by Richard Heinberg. And you can go to the website for the book, When Tech, T-E-C-H, WhenTechFails.com. There'll also be a link on my site, PeterWerbe.com. That's W-E-R-B-E.com. Thank you for all this important information. I hope we never have to use it, but as I've said a couple times during the broadcast, being a former Boy Scout, be prepared. Thank you, Matthew Stein.
Oh, it was my pleasure. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Night Call on 101 WRIF. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WRIF Radio. Now, stay tuned for more Riff Rock on 101 WRIF Detroit.
101 WRIF and Diet Pepsi want to hear what rocks you. Log on to WRIF.com and tell us your Diet Pepsi Rocks playlist for your chance to win great prizes, including iPod Nanos and a grand prize vacation for two to the Hyatt Regency Scottsdale Resort and Spa at Caney Ranch. Enjoy Diet Pepsi and their greatest hits, cherry, vanilla, lemon, and lime for a limited time only.
Home of WRIF.com.
Get the latest rock news, concert listings, and when Riff is rocking the streets, check out Motor City's deals and deals and get stuff for half price. Or get 101 The Riff online from anywhere in the world.
Websites
worldwide.
101 WRIF and WRIF.com.
Everything rocks.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt? Sky-high interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees? Having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We can help. We're Credit Card Relief. We've helped thousands of people become debt-free in months instead of years, all while saving thousands of dollars and without risking your family home. No, this isn't bankruptcy. It isn't one of those credit counseling deals or a high-interest consolidation loan. We're Credit Card Relief. We've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're an attorney-driven program with an outstanding record of performance and client satisfaction. If you're serious about getting out of debt, call Credit Card Relief right now. Don't wait for the collection calls to start. The consultation is free, and the relief is real.
Call 866-290-8282. 866-290-8282. That's 866-290-8282.
Attention! Hydralyze is currently seeking participants with dark circles and puffy eyes. If you have dark circles or bags around your eyes due to heredity, fatigue, or aging, you are eligible to see results and participate in the Hydralyze trial. Hydralyze was introduced to improve delicate skin around the eyes and now has been shown to eliminate dark circles and bags. It effectively diminishes even dark circles caused by heredity. To participate in the Hydralyze trial and see results risk-free, call 1-800-505-7931. Fragile capillaries around the eye can leak, allowing blood to pool beneath the skin like an ugly bruise. But right now, you can join the thousands of people who have seen their dark circles fade away, watched as bags literally disappeared from view. Participate in the free trial by calling today. If you're serious about getting rid of your dark circles or bags around the eyes, you are eligible to participate and experience results with Hydralyze. Call this number today, 1-800-505-7931. Once more, that's 1-800-505-7931.
You may have seen her on Oprah or The View. We're talking to Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center, about a powerful free tape she's giving away to help people discover a way to leave anxiety and depression behind for good. Lucinda, what are some of the symptoms of anxiety?
Worry, fear, depression, insecurity, low self-esteem. I suffered with anxiety and depression for over 20 years. When I was at my lowest point, I was curled up in a ball on my living room sofa, afraid to live and afraid to die.
Wow. So what's the biggest anxiety myth?
I think the most challenging thing about working with people with anxiety and depression is that many of them think they're victims of their emotions. They think they'll always be worrisome, fearful, and depressed.
But that's not true.
There's real drug-free help that has the potential to last a lifetime. Millions of people have called for this wonderful free tape.
Okay. To request your free tape, call 1-800-449-7603. 1-800-449-7603. 1-800-449-7603.
If you want to own a new computer but think you can't get credit, listen to this. Now you're approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer for just $29.99 a week. There's no credit check, no hassles, and you won't be turned down. Just call Tronics Country at 1-800-990-2258. If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for 12 months, you're approved for a new computer guaranteed. Even if you have bad credit or no credit, you will not be turned down. And with Tronics Country's program, you can help improve your credit rating. Call Tronics Country now for a brand new name brand computer or wireless laptop. Call right now, and with your paid purchase, you'll also get a free 20-inch LCD TV and a free color printer. Call Tronics Country right now at 1-800-990-2258. 1-800-990-2258. That's 1-800-990-2258.
101 WRIF and WRIF HD1 Detroit.
Everything that rocks.